जयं विशुपादपरमहंसपरिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्रीश्रीमान् अभयचरणारविन्दं भक्तिवेदान्तगोस्वामी महाराज शीलप्रभुपादकी जयं नित्यल्याप्रवेशविष्णुपादपरमहंसपरिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्रीश्रीमान् भक्तसिद्धान्तसरस्वती महाराज शीलप्रभुपादकी आनन्दकोटि वैष्णववृन्दकी नामाचार्य श्रीहरिदास ठाकूर्की स्वयं सहो श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्दश्रीअद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्दकी श्री श्रीराधाकृष्ण गोपगोविनाथ श्यामकुण्ड राधाकुण्ड गिरिगोवर्धानिकी वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौ प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमः विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतलेश्वरे भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वदेवं गौरवाणि प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्दियम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् गणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणी नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिसिद्धान्त सरस्वती इति नामिने श्रीवर्षभानविदेवी दैदायाः कृपाब्धये कृष्णसम्बन्धविज्ञानं दायिदे प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वलप्रेमाग्नि श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्तु ते नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दीनधारिणि रूपानुगविरुद्धाभसिद्धान्तद्वन्द्वहारिणि नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षात् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्भोधे पादाम्बुजायते नमः नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपनुगौरायते गौराविर्भवभूमेस्त्वं निर्दोष्टा स जनप्रिया वैष्णवस्सार्वभौमश्री जगन्नाथायते नमः वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महामदान्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्वशे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताघ्यं नमामि भक्तशात्विकम् हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिकाकान्द राधाकान्द नमोऽस्तु ते जयतां सुरतौ पाङ्गोर्मम मन्दमदेर्गति मत्सर्वस्वपदाम्भोजौ राधामदनमोहनौ दिव्यबृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमाद श्रीमद्रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ श्रीमद्राधा श्रीलगोविन्ददेवौ प्रेष्ठालिभि सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन्द्रासरसारम्भि वंशीवटतटस्थिता कर्षान् वेणुस्वनेर्गोपीर्गोपीनाथाश्रिये स्तुनाः तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरे प्रिये श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे In the what we were talking about last Sunday from Bhagavad Gita is the Krishna's universal form, isn't it? That's the chapter we are talking now, discussing. While discussing this chapter and the subsequent chapters from now on, which comes right up to the 18th chapter, it is knowledge that Krishna has spoken. It is the spiritual knowledge, knowledge behind Bhagavad Gita. That's what you will find there. Because the science of the soul is very intricate. I have always heard this, that when you talk to people, they hear, and after some time they get bored. Do you know why they get bored with it? There is a reason behind it. People start, what happens to most of us is, we are used to communicating with people through mind and intelligence, isn't it? Mind and intelligence is a media through which we communicate with others. Normally we meet someone on the road or street or elsewhere. As soon as we talk about, he says something, we respond to that through the mind or through our intelligence. There is no involvement of the soul in any of the discussions. Unfortunately, when we touch anything with the mind or intelligence, particularly Shruti, Vedam, it gets contaminated. It is beyond mind and intelligence. That is why in Rigvedam, the first statement itself is Pratyakshena anamityava yas upayo na vidyade Vedam vadandi vedena tasmal vedasya vedada. That you cannot experience by direct perception or by the senses or mind or by inference. It is that knowledge that is spoken in the Vedas. And what we do normally, we tend to use our mind and intelligence to understand things in our own level and try to bring it into the control of the mind. When we do that, after a while, you will start thinking, oh, I have heard all this before. But in Jnana Margam, particularly Jnana Margam, from now on, this is why I am saying this, from now on, you will keep hearing the same thing again. The message will come through very forcefully. Krishna has banged this into Arjuna's head. Krishna had to bang this into Uddhava's head as well. Both are great devotees, no doubt. But the end you can see there, particularly now in the Bhagavadam also, from tomorrow when we start the 19th chapter, it is pure knowledge it is. Krishna is going to talk pure knowledge, spiritual knowledge. How knowledge makes a person try to understand spirituality, what spirituality means. Unfortunately, because of our conditioning due to the mind and intelligence, we are always trying to we can only relate with anything, any knowledge or anything in this world through the mind and intelligence. Therefore, we have a problem there, that you will start getting bored with it after a while, after hearing this, because you will see, oh, this is the same thing I've heard before, but nothing has happened. Why? Because the understanding, Krishna is saying there again, if the understanding, this message can get in any time, when it will happen, very difficult to say. When the person who is matured, that's why Krishna is saying that till that maturity happens inside, the message of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam will not enter very easily inside. Our darkness inside is so deep that to penetrate true darkness, it is very, very difficult. We'll see, Krishna mentions that later on in this chapter also. So, we were talking about this last time, that Krishna says to Arjuna, Pashyame partha rubani shatashodha sahasrasha nana vidhani divyani nana varna gridinija Pashya adityan vasun rudran ashvino marudastadha bahunya drishtapurvani Pashya charyani bharada Ihegastam jagat krishnam Pashya adyascha charajaram Mamadehe gudhagesha yachanyal drishtumichasi. 3 verses 5, 6 and 7. Krishna mentions there that through these 3 verses, Krishna is giving the first hand experience to Arjuna about the universal form, isn't it? About the universal form. As I mentioned few times before, that this particular chapter, universal form, is a mixture of jnanam and yogam, both. They are both present in this chapter. Why it is like that is, yogam is experience, isn't it? For example, normally Ashtanga yogam process brings us to a level where you start experiencing things at different stages. That is how yoga, unlike jnanam. Jnanam, till you hit that realized stage, it is always remains as a unknown entity. Whereas in this chapter, knowledge is there. Krishna has also offered yogam to Arjuna. Ashtangam yogam, yoga experience, yoga mandalam it is referred to. That experience of yogam along with jnanam is what Arjuna is experiencing here. So that is why Krishna mentions there that the jnani who has or a realized soul, generally when we refer to jnani is a realized soul. A realized soul has the same capacity like Krishna to manifest this whole thing in front of a person. In front of a person. In many, many instances in the history, we have come across this. Many great personalities, they have the capacity to create this in front of them because they are on the platform of the soul. They are not on the platform of the mind. We are all on the platform of the mind. We don't know what his soul means, isn't it? So being in the platform of the mind, what we know is very limited to this body, limited to this intelligence, and limited to the world. But those who have touched that basic stratum, substratum, or what adhishtanam they call it in the shastram, which is the soul, they are operating from a different plane altogether. They are not operating from the platform of the mind. Because we are in the platform of the mind, whenever we try to understand spiritual knowledge or spiritual realization, what Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we get into problems. We forget that we have this limitation on us. That is where the difficulty is. Once we forget our limitation, we start thinking, oh, this all I have heard before, but what's new? That thought will come inside. This is the problem. Because when you read Krishna's verses from now on in the Bhagavatam, particularly this 19th chapter, which we'll be discussing from tomorrow, some of the things Krishna has spoken there, how hard it is to penetrate into the darkness inside. You will observe that there. How much Krishna has to put effort to break through that darkness inside of Uddhava. Krishna had to go through Uddhava and ask the questions on our behalf. Uddhava was not in that darkness. Uddhava was pure enough. But Krishna had to put Uddhava through the darkness and ask the same kind of questions what we would ask. And in return, Krishna had to reply. And when you see the questions and the answers, you will start seeing how deep that darkness inside is in us. We do not understand our own difficulty, our own limitations. So that is why we spoke about this last Sunday, that this example we talked about, Acharya Swamiji's mother was leaving the body. He came over and anything in front of a jnani, if you desire, that will happen. This is the situation. In front of a highly realized soul, a jnani, if you desire something, it will immediately happen. That is the way it is. Because they are also linked with that platform, Adhishtanam, or the soul. From that platform they are speaking. The soul from where everything has come. Everything has come. So that is consciousness. That is Krishna. That is Krishna. Krishna's understanding has to be like that. So I mentioned about this, that he spoke about the Shiva Bhujanga Prayadam, and he wanted to see Lord Shiva. Shiva appeared there. And then she got frightened seeing Shiva's associates. And she wanted to see Vishnu. Vishnu appeared there. And that's how those two famous verses, Shiva Bhujanga Prayadam and Vishnu Bhujanga Prayadam, came into. So, so at that time, Acharya Swamiji says there, at the time of death, if Kani is completely absorbed in the platform of the soul, he doesn't have a rebirth again. Because it is at that point, in the Bhagavadam, it is spoken in a much more palatable way. Palatable way means that when Sukadeva Goswami says there that Janmalabha Parappum So Ande Narayana Smriti Edavan Syongha Yogabhyam Sudharma Parinishtaya Janmalabha Parappum So Ande Narayana Smriti. We have difficult understanding on these things. Edavan Sanghya Yogabhyam Sudharma Parinishtayam Janmalabha Parappum So Ande Narayana Smriti. Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit, Sanghyam, that means knowledge, Yogam, Ashtanga Yogam, Sudharmam, observing the Varnashrama Dharmam, Parinishtaya, if one is following any of these things, ultimately Janmalabha Parappum So, that the Janmalabha means the profit in all these things is Ande Narayana Smriti. Narayana Smriti. Remembrance of the soul. Remembrance of the soul. That is what it is. See, generally we say, all devotees will say this, that somehow or the other, if I can chant the holy name and leave this body, I'll go back home, back to Krishna. I don't have to accept another material body. That's what it means. That going back to Krishna means no more accepting another material body again. So, this is one thing where we cannot plan it before. Then some people say that all you have to do is just chant the holy name at the time of leaving the body and you go back home, back to Godhead, isn't it? But that is not how it is to be understood. What it is if one practices Krishna consciousness throughout life, and if one has served Krishna wholeheartedly and pleased Krishna, it is Krishna who has to give us that holy name at the time of death. It is by Krishna's mercy alone, because at the time of death, when we leave the body, how that will happen, nobody knows. Nobody knows. There is no guarantee that you will have your own willpower to do anything, nor guarantee that you will be even conscious of what is going on around us. Plus, added to that, we have all our visitors who will come to say goodbye to us with their sweet words and flowers and everything. So all these things around us, the chances that on our own remembering Krishna's holy name is very limited, very little. It is there that Krishna's mercy, Kripa, comes. If a devotee has prayed to Krishna and lived a life to please Krishna, at the time of death, it is Krishna's mercy that comes in the form of the holy name to the devotee. It is not by devotee's effort it will happen. the completely devotee has no role at that time, completely comes from Krishna's mercy. That is how this andagale jamameva smaran tiktva kalebaram yaprayadi samadbhavam yadina astyatrasam shaya. Bhagavad Gita says there, isn't it? Andagale jamameva means at the time of death. Smaran tiktva kalebaram, one he leaves his body remembering me. But that remembering me is not in devotee's hands. It is in Krishna's hands. This must not forget that. Normally we think, because we have got used to this, our ego, we think that everything is under our control. Similarly, we think that at the time of death also I can remember Krishna and go back to Krishna. But that is where all the false ego goes. False ego cannot do anything anymore at that time. Up to that, when the body is strong and healthy, false ego will dictate a lot of things. But at the time of death, there is no possibility that you may even remember about Krishna. You may not even remember Krishna. Where is the guarantee that? That is why in the Bhagavatam you will notice Vedavyasa Maharshi introduces, first thing is Bhishma Stuti, first prayers itself, Bhishma's departure from this world. Bhishma's departure from this world. Krishna comes to Bhishma to remind him. Bhishma had the desire. Bhishma was an elevated, very elevated soul. But still, Krishna realizes that it is his duty to go to the devotee. So similarly, for Bhishma, Krishna was personally present there. But a person who has thought about Krishna, served Krishna in this life, for him, that is the greatest mercy from Krishna, not to accept another material body again. Material body again. So that means, at the time of death, Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita in a different way, in the second chapter, if you remember, the Esha Brahmistiti Partha, the Brahmistiti is that. What is Brahmistiti means? Brahmistiti means absorption in the soul, not in the body. Somehow we have to escape from this body and not to accept another material body again. This is the principle behind it. So that Brahmistiti state is this, that Krishna is saying, that somehow if one has reached that state prior to death, it is guaranteed that he won't come back. If not, at least at the time of death, Krishna says in the second chapter, at least at the time of death, he should be absorbed in the soul. And that is what Acharya Swami also says there, that Brahmacharam, if he does that, at that time it comes to him. Brahmacharam means absorption in the soul, self-realization. Then he doesn't have to accept another material body again. So therefore, at that point, Acharya Swamiji instructed his mother about the soul, about the reality, Brahmavadesham. Like Sukadeva Goswami instructed Parikshit in the same way, isn't it? In the Bhagavadam, you will notice that in the 12th canto. Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahma Aham Paramam Padam Brahmam. That is the final destination that has been spoken. So, so it is quite known thing that in the presence of a real, fully realized soul, if you desire something, it will happen. If you desire something, it will happen. And this system is not from started today or few years before, from the time of Upanishads, this system existed. That many people, they will go to the highly realized personalities and they know if they desire something, it will happen in their presence. And that was quite a common thing. Tasmad Atmajnani Archayet Bhudiga Manaha. So although that jnani or realized soul, he is present there in the body, he is not in that body anymore. This is the situation. Krishna talked about that in the Bhagavatam also, that a self-realized soul who is completely realized that he is not this body, he is in the platform of the realized state where he is. In the Bhagavatam, so many places you will see Atma Ramas Chamunayo Nirgrandha Biurikrami Kurvandi Haidugim Bhaktim Mitham Bhudaguno Hari. Atma Raman means who is situated in the Atma. Who is situated in Atma? Atma means the soul. So, this jnanis who are Atma Ramas, for them, they don't have a thing called mind. They don't have a thing called mind. What they have got is consciousness, bodham, avabodham. They are purely in the platform of consciousness. There is no such thing called the mind. So in their presence, if anything, if you wish, it will take a particular form and come and stand in front of you. That is what will happen. Any desire, anything if you desire in their presence, because they are not in the platform of the mind, but rather in the platform of the soul, whatever you desire, it will take a form and come and stand in front of you. This is what happened to the mother. Mother wanted to see, there was no conversation, wanted to see Shiva at that time. Shiva appeared there, a form. Afterwards, she decided to see Vishnu, and Vishnu appeared and stood in front of them. So, so this is how Shriya Prishto Vishnu Stiradaras Babuhu Veda Vishayam Priya Srishto Vishnuhu Stiradara Babuhu Veda Vishayaho Diyam Sakshi Shuddho Hari Asura Handasta Nayanaha Gati Shangi Chakri Vimala Nayanamahi Stirarujihi Sharanyo Bhudeshu Nama Bhavandu Vishnu Akshi Vishayaha. These are the verses about that. Gati Shangi Chakri Vimala Nayanam, description of Vishnu with conchal disc lotus flower and the conchal disc lotus flower and the club in the hands, four-handed form of Vishnu standing there. Stiradujihi Sharanyo Bhudesho Nama Bhavandu Vishnu Akshi Vishayaha. The mother is saying, let that form be manifested in front of me. Shriya Srishto Vishnu Stiradarava Bahu Veda Vishayaho Dhyam Sakshi, who is the witness of everything that is happening in this creation. So Shiva, seeing Lord Shiva, seeing Vishnu, all these things happened at that moment. And Yamyam Vabhi Smaran Bhavam Tejatyande Kalayavaram, according to the form what you visualize, this is Krishna's mercy. This is Krishna's mercy it is. That a devotee has no control over any of these things. This is not something you can plan today. Let me think about Krishna and leave my body, and or tell someone else, you remind me of Krishna at the time when I am dying. You can't organize it that way. Because what at that point in time, what our situation is unknown. Unknown to us. That is why Kulashekara Alvar says there in Mukundamala, that at the time of death, what will happen? The throat will choke. The mucus will build up inside. And when that is the situation, where is the question of me remembering you? Krishna, he asked Krishna. So Krishna's kripa, Krishna's mercy is that at that time, if Krishna is willing to show that kripa or mercy to us, that remembrance of Krishna will happen. This principle that if you desire something in the presence of a jnani, it is mentioned in the Upanishad. How does it say? Yam yam loka manasa samvibhadi vishuddha sattva kamayate yamscha kaman tam tam lokam jayate tamscha kaman tasmad atmanyam hi archayet bhutikama. It says, yam yam lokam manasa samvibhudi samvibhadi vishuddha sattva kamayate yamscha kaman. A person who is pure in heart means attains whatever he desires. He enters whatever planet his heart desires. Therefore, one who desires what is truly good in life, tam tam lokam jayate tamascha kaman, in life should worship an advanced transcendentalist who knows the truth of the Supreme. It's a Mundaka Upanishad statement. Upanishad statement is, that means even from the Upanishad's time, that means even way beyond Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam has been there, even much before than that, during the time of Upanishads itself, this understanding was there, that one who wants to see, one has a particular desire, if you present that in front of a fully realized soul, that desire what you have will take a personal form and appear in front of you. In front of you. So, after saying that, Krishna is saying here that, so this is what's happening to Arjuna also. Arjuna had the desire. Krishna is standing there. In Krishna's presence, anything if you desire, it will happen. Why? Because of that transcendental nature of Krishna. Yogeshwara, isn't it? All the great souls, they meditate on Krishna. So Krishna's position is like that. That is why Prabhupada calls the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For this reason. That the totally realized all times, in all states. So, so he says here, in that fifth verse, Pashame partharubani shatashoda sahasrasha nana vidhani divyani nana varnakritini cha. So, hundreds and thousands, you can see my form. Who says this? Krishna says to Arjuna. And in the beginning, a sadhaka, one who is performing sadhana, this is what he needs. That even if he has not seen the universal form, in our sadhana stage, whatever help we require in spiritual life, Krishna will come in some form in front of us. If a person is serious in spiritual life, this is how it works. If a person is serious in spiritual life, at different stages in his sadhana, Krishna will come in different forms in front of them to help in their spiritual life. Help in their spiritual life. And this is the law of nature. It is the arrangement Krishna has set up in this world. When somebody is genuinely looking for Krishna, for realization of the truth, self-realization, all the necessary arrangements Krishna has set up in this world, it's already there. It's already there. Either it will come in some form in front of him to instruct them and to give thee. That's why Krishna says there, all of that happened to Arjuna in one instance. Pashyame partha rupani shatashoda sahasrasha nana varnani nana vidhani divyani nana varnakritini cha. In so many different forms and so many different colors and so many different shapes, it has appeared in front of Arjuna. Then who all appeared? The 12 Adityas, Ashwini Devas, the Maruts, and who else is I say? Pashya Adityan Vasun Rudran, Ashwino Marudastada Bahunya Drishtapurvani, Pashya Sharyani Bharatam. All of these things you can see. A long time ago, a great sannyasi, a really highly advanced and realized soul, he was talking to his disciple. Suddenly, the disciple raised a question, what is Maya? He asked, what is Maya? He wanted to experience that Maya. So, actually, universal form is seeing Maya. Universal form is seeing Maya. Vishwarupa Darshanam means Maya Darshanam. Seeing Maya in its entirety is universal form. That is why this Maya incarnation of Krishna, it is the first incarnation. We talk about 24 incarnations, isn't it? Even prior to that, Maya incarnation has happened. So, Maya's incarnation, so if you take Maya from this creation, there is only one thing left. What is that? Brahman, which is the Adhishtanam. Or the soul of everything. So what he did, this great soul, great sannyasi, he started describing Maya. 2 or 3 hours, Maya is a big subject, isn't it? You can talk about it for as many hours as you want and get completely lost in that by talking about Maya. So he started talking about Maya, and after discussing for 2 or 3 hours, this disciple started feeling the whole thing is shaking. He was experiencing an unusual experience which he never had before. He started seeing whatever the Swamiji was saying to him, he started experiencing it little by little. And at one point, he got shaken so much. Exactly what happened to Arjuna when he had this experience with Krishna. So this disciple started saying to him, he started losing everything. Losing means he lost his consciousness in that. And he started saying to him, Swamiji, all what you are talking, everything is Maya, he says to him. He has asked for it and he got it. And then he is saying, everything what you are now talking about is all Maya. You have been preaching all these years so many things, you have built so many mutts, and you have developed, trained so many disciples, everything is Maya. He says, Swamiji started smiling. After a while, he came back to his normal state. So what we have to understand is this. Everything that is done here is within the jurisdiction of Maya, within the jurisdiction of Maya. So in the inside, when a realization comes that within this Maya, who is serving whom? Who is serving whom? So, and who has got to elevate whom? Everybody is inside the Maya. The one who is trying to elevate and the one who is getting elevated, they are all within this influence of Maya. So strictly speaking, till we come out of this Maya, till we are out of this Maya, that our effort also is very much tainted with the influence of Maya, with the influence of Maya. Just like from that consciousness, so many things has come, isn't it? So many things have come about. And just like in the sea, in the ocean, when there is continuously waves are coming, and that develops into bubbles, foam, and all sorts of effect on the land. It creates, but it same say, it is goes back again into the same situation. So, similarly, from that consciousness, some unusual power comes up. And we experience all these different creation, different universes and things like that. Individuals, we identify them separately, and all other things is after that, when it has come from the same consciousness. All these living entities have come about. So, and when he started experiencing that, he got so upset that when he started experiencing this universal form in presence of this sannyasi, he started saying that whatever you are doing, everything is Maya. It was then that Swamiji replied him like this. Whatever you have spoken is 100% correct. 100% correct. Because whatever I am doing and whatever I have wandered around all over the world and spoken about it, everything is Maya. But the difference is that I am fully conscious of that it is Maya who is doing. Within this Maya, everything is happening. And because I know about that, I can play that very easily, without difficulty. In the Bhagavatam, you will see, Sve mahimnosti sthitasya cha. There is a statement in the Bhagavatam, Sve mahimnosti sthitasya cha. That means, one who is situated in the samadhi state, this Maya cannot touch him. So now, if you have the mercy of a person like that who has escaped from Maya, that person, when he desires, he can relieve the Maya from another person as well. So therefore, his instruction to the disciple was that first try to free yourself from this Maya. After knowing that you are operating within the frame of Maya, then Maya will not have its impact on you, because Maya is a powerful entity. But to free oneself is not an easy thing. So, if we understand that all the names and forms, what we experience here, is also coming from that consciousness, but still very much under the influence of Maya. So, and what Krishna has done here, if you look into the next verse, you will see, Ihaikastam Jagat Krishnam Pashyadhyascha Characharam Mama Dehe Gudakesha Yachanyal Drishtumichasi. That's a very important verse. Why? Generally, when we look through your senses means when you look through your eyes will bring you the vision, the ears will bring you the sound, the nose will bring you the smell, the tongue will bring you the taste, the skin will give you the touch, this perception of the senses. When you are within this body, it contacts the material world, the world what we see. And if you have to experience through the senses, you have to go to the different locations where the sense object is, isn't it? Otherwise, you can't do it. The eyes can bring you a certain vision of this creation, a certain part of it. It cannot see the whole creation, can it? It cannot see the whole creation. Eye has its own limitations. Within the capacity of the senses of the eye, it will bring you an experience of this creation, a certain part of it. Similarly, the nose, similarly the ears. Ears can bring you a certain amount of noise from a certain distance. But a noise that is spoken, say, in America or in Europe, somewhere else, we can't hear from here. It's not possible. Similarly, the sense of touch, the sense of smell, the sense of taste, only that is close to your senses, where your senses can contact, make a contact and experience it, it is limited to that. What Krishna is saying here, everything in this whole creation, you can see it in one place. You can experience in one place. This is the difference in the universal form, and that is what's happening to Arjuna here. Ihaikastam jagat krishnam pashyadyascha characharam mamadehe gudakesha yachanyal drishtumichasi. You see that? In the universal form, you can experience everything in one place. You don't have to go to different places to see. The whole creation, what Krishna wanted to show it, Arjuna to experience, it's all happening in one place, staying in one point, staying in one place. Here and now, Krishna says, here and now. Ihaikastam jagat krishnam. That is the beauty of that, the universal form. In universal form, that's what's happening. That's not that to see America, you have to go to America, or to go to see to another planet, to see moon planet, what's happening there. But the whole creation, whatever Arjuna wanted to see in his own thoughts, whatever he wished to see, Krishna says, see it now. You can see. That's the beauty of the universal form. Universal form is like that. Ihai kastam jagat krishnam. Pashya adhyascha characharam. Everything moving, non-moving, everything. Because it is an experience to Arjuna. A given experience to Arjuna. So here, you'll notice, Krishna has used the word Gudakesha, isn't it? That's how Krishna addresses Arjuna. Gudaka means sleep. One who has won over sleep. So, one who has won over sleep is Gudakesha. What does that mean? One who has won over sleep means. So, if you have fallen into sleep means, you have fallen into Maya. That is the sleep that is referring to here. If you've fallen into sleep means, it's fallen into Maya. Normally we say, in reality actually, we are all in sleep, even now. Even now, we are sleeping. We say we are awake, but actually not. This is what I'm saying, that the we think that we are fully awake now, let's say. So I'm fully awake. Actually, we are not awake. From the Shastram is not accepting that we are awake. We are not awake. We are very much in the grip of the body. For example, we have three states, isn't it? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Now, what is happening is, this Sushupti state permeates into dream state and into the deep, into the vacant state. Sushupti state permeates into the dream state as well as into the vacant state. So that is why our vacant state is also a sleep state. Our vacant state is also a sleep state. We may not accept it because we have that so thick is the darkness inside, as I mentioned before, that we may think all this is, oh, this is too much. Scientifically, it's not proven. We'll say scientifically, we are, where is science and where is Krishna? Krishna is just talking from a completely different level. And we, with our senses, everything through the senses, we are trying to understand. And everything through the senses, we are trying to judge also things. Isn't it? So deep-rooted is the ignorance inside. So, so what Srimad Bhagavatam says that, Treen Swapnan Dhunude Muni. In the seventh canto, if you look, you will see a statement there. Treen Swapnam. Treen Swapnan Dhunude Muni. Trin Swapnam is what? Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti. Because in the words of Srinarada Maharshi, Narada Maharshi is a realized soul. He knows what is the truth. So he is saying, all the three states, Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti is three state. Three is dream state it is. All three are dream states only. Trin Swapnan Dhunute Muni. He breaks through these three states and goes beyond. Muni. Muni means one who has realized the truth. Otherwise, so in the base of Sushupti, we are experiencing our dream state and Jagrat. The base is Sushupti. It is from Sushupti you have come to Jagrat state and dream state. And you are going back to Sushupti in the night again. Isn't it? So that effect of Sushupti does not leave us in our vacant state or in our dream state. This is why it is spoken like that. That the although we may say we are in the Jagrat state, vacant state, actually we are not. We are not. This you have to sit peacefully somewhere alone and reflect yourself. And you will know that it is true, all these things what Krishna is saying there. You should not just take it like that. But of course, you have to accept what Shastram says. But to make yourself convinced about it, if you are not convinced, sometimes you are easily convinced. But if you are not convinced, think yourself sometime, take your time, be alone and reflect on these things, these words, Trin Swapnan Dhunute Muni. Srinarayana Maharshi won't make a very statement like that without deep realization behind it. Everything in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam is the truth. Unfortunately, due to our deep-rooted ignorance inside us, we are fighting and fighting not to accept it from inside. And we have this problem because of that. So behind this Jagrat and Swapnam state also, behind that there is Sushupti. Behind that there is Sushupti. Therefore, because it is like that, we are inside this Maya. Therefore, Krishna says to him, whatever you want to see within this Maya, you can see now. And if you want to see something new, you can see also that. He says, if you desire something new also, want to see, you can see that. So, and you create yourself. Because here, what is important is Arjuna's Sangalpam. Arjuna's Sangalpam. How Arjuna is thinking about Krishna. What is Krishna? Arjuna's perception now. Accordingly, Krishna is manifesting for Arjuna. Because in that static state of bodham, avabodham, which is mentioned as the soul, the spirit soul, from there anything that comes out, any chittavritti which comes in the form of the mind, isn't it? We call it as mind. This mind, we all say my mind is different from your mind, your mind is different from somebody else's mind. What you have to remember is that all this mind, everyone's mind, is coming from the same source. From the same source. And because it is like that, due to our localized situation. Localized means, when we have identified with the body, we are localized. Straight away, we are localized with the body. Localized with the body, we consider that the mind is also localized. Actually, what's happening is, all the chittavritti, all the thoughts that's coming to each one of us in this world is coming from the same source, which is called chitshakti, which is the chitshakti. So whatever we are thinking and desiring, it is manifesting in us or experiencing in us, but the source is the same. That we mustn't forget. The source is the same thing. And this is why Krishna is saying here, when you are brought into that state of the basis of the soul, whatever chittavritti that develops inside, immediately that chittavritti will take a form and come and stand in front of you. Come and stand in front of you. And that is why it's called Maya. That's why it's called, this is what is called Maya. For example, Arjuna is standing before Krishna. And Arjuna is thinking about Krishna various things. Everything Arjuna is thinking is manifesting in a form there, in front of him. Why? The source where it is coming from is Chitshakti. Is the Chitshakti. And from Maya, in the periphery, within this periphery of Maya, anything can happen, Anything can happen. That's why I'm saying that don't try to understand Maya. It is foolishness to understand Maya. Because the scientists and the so-called great thinkers, they lack this understanding that behind this body and the mind, there is another force operating from there. Everything is happening. Janmadhyasa yadaha. Bhagavatam says like that, isn't it? Janmadhyasa yadaha. What does that mean? Janmadhyasa yadaha means Janmadi asa yadaha. Everything is taking birth from that source. It's not taking birth from here. Is taking birth from that source. But this thing called mind, which is manifesting in everyone in different forms, different ways, is all due to our own desires inside has taken in some particular form and manifesting in front of us. That's what it is. It is a little difficult concept to accept initially, but if you keep thinking about it, you can see, because you see, mind is a very complex phenomenon. Everyone agrees in this world, this thing called mind, isn't it? And from the Vedic point of view, what they do is, they don't accept mind as a subject for study. As a subject for study. Why? Because it is happening within Maya. Now, those who have studied the mind, like in the modern psychiatry and psychologists and all that, generally what we have seen is that after a long period of studying this mind, they themselves require some treatment. It comes to that state. It's not their fault, because they will study the books first, and based on the books they will start treating a patient, trying to understand the psychological problems or whatever in their own way they analyze it. But they are baffled every time, because what they have studied in the books is not happening in the reality in life. It won't happen. Because of this reason, if you want to work with my mind, you have to stay out of the mind and deal with it. If you try to go into the mind like you do with the matter, like we do with say wood or metals or mortar or anything, which you can operate the way you want to do it, you can't do that with mind. You can't do that with the mind. So, therefore, this Krishna is saying to Arjuna, whatever you want to see, you can see. Why? Krishna has switched on that Chit Shakti. And Chit Shakti will produce whatever Arjuna wants at that point. And that is what was happening to Arjuna. So when the mind starts acting completely independently, you may see certain things which you may not like, or you will also see not only what you will see what you like to see, but you may see things what you may not like to see as well. You may not like to see. That is why Vedantam says this is what you are seeing in the world today. What you are seeing in the world today and what's happening in our life also. Many people will think that why, if everything is based on my sankalpam, sankalpam means my imagination or my perception or my thoughts, if everything is based on my thoughts, why do I get distress in my life? They'll ask that question, isn't it? Why do I have so many problems? The answer to that is, what is manifesting in us today from the Chit Shakti in the form of mind is not only the thoughts that we have thought in this life. That we have thought in this life. From previous lifetimes, if you have performed some sankalpam, some thoughts in your mind, if something you have developed in your previous life, even that has to take a form and develop now. From Chit Shakti, that will manifest. This is why out of this, all these potencies of Krishna, this Chit Shakti is given such a prominent place. Isn't it? Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti, this Chitta Chitta we call it, Satya Chitta Anandam, eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. That knowledge aspect of Krishna is this, that it is from there this Bodham consciousness has come. We became conscious of our own existence, and that consciousness is constantly present in us, even if we go anywhere, in all the three states. And even if we are alone or without anyone's help, the consciousness of my own existence I am aware of, and that is the strength of that chit shakti in us. So the answer is that if a wave forms one direction, it will come back in also in the same way. So similarly, in several lifetimes, what we have thought about various things, or what we have sankalpam we have created in us, we ourselves do not know, and that is all packaged inside us. So that is why if you had a sankalpam of some happiness in some time in this life or previous lifetimes, it may manifest at a particular time, but when that sankalpam leaves you, that is when you experience the distress. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is why it is such a subtle activity that is going on inside, in the subtle body. Suppose you have desired something to enjoy in this world, and it may not happen now, it may happen in the future lifetimes, or sometime you may receive that happiness in some form. But just like a wave goes, it has to come back. In the same way, if you have desired something, that sankalpam will manifest eventually and you will get that happiness. But when that leaves you, you have to experience the distress from that. That is also the law connected with that. So this is why sukham dukham is mixed in life. Why do we get so much happiness and so much distress? Always, we cannot stay in happiness throughout life, can we? Continuously, it's not possible. Most of our experience is one day is good, the next day is bad. Is it not? Always, people wonder, why is it like this? Why is that? One day, sometime one or two good days you get, like our weather. A few days will be wonderful. And then a downpour for about few months continuously with snow, ice, wind, cold wind, everything. Then you accept that this is life. I can't do anything about it. Then comes suddenly sunshine. Is it not? So in the same way, happiness and distress, what we experience in life, is also the same pattern. If you have any sankalpam, any conception inside of happiness have developed in you, that development will happen one day. It has to manifest because you have already conceived that in you, which means chit shakti will provide you that. But the difficulty is that happiness what you have experienced for that moment, that will go. It is not permanent. It's not permanent because it's come from the chit shakti. So, and it is a very interesting, if you think about all these things. For example, actually many people identify with the mind. Most of us identify with the mind. What do we talk about the soul? We say we are soul. We keep saying. But everything is based on all our vyavaharam is completely based on the mind. Isn't it? Completely based on the mind. So, and it's our own mind, we say. You say it's our own mind. So, you had a good meal, good feast, and you are sleeping in a air-conditioned room, very comfortable, everything is provided, nobody is disturbing you, you are very tired, you are having a good sleep, you had a good feast as well. And while sleeping, right in the middle of the dream, you feel you are in the middle of a desert and you are starving. In the middle of the desert, you are starving. You are starving. You had a big feast before you went to bed. But in that dream state, you are experiencing the hunger. You are experiencing the hunger. And and you are wandering around in that desert for 10 or 15 days, looking for some water to drink. And you are hungry as well. So, but you are sleeping in that air-conditioned room, in a nice bed, everything is there. So, and you want to sleep, but this dream is there. You are going through. So, how will you explain this? How can you explain this? This is what I'm saying. How will you explain that? What is going through at that time? You had the feast, you are full, but you are experiencing the dream, you are experiencing the hunger. So, and why do you have to experience a dream like that? There is no answer to that. There is no answer to that. Only thing you can say like this, the answer is, that this thing called mind, it has created some sankalpam at some time, and that has come through that dream at that point. So we have no hold on that. We have given the freedom for that. So just like people bring up children, after you have brought them up, they don't listen to you and they'll go do what they want. Have you got any control over that? The same way it is, the mind also. And we are saying after that, oh, they are not listening to us. Why should they listen to us? We think that so it's a life contract that they should listen to you, all the things what you say to them. It doesn't happen like that. So they don't. So similarly, just like we brought up children, we have brought up this thing called mind inside in the same way, but in an unknown way. In the sense, children, you know, every day you're watching them through your senses, but mind, you are totally unaware of what you are doing to the mind. You expose the mind to various things, and those things infect so many things into the mind. Based on that infection, we develop certain sankalpam inside, and according to the sankalpam, something will happen. And when that has gone, then you feel the distress. When it happens, you feel the happiness. That is how it is. So So everything is based on this, what is called sankalpam. You will see Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita in a very subtle level, how the sankalpam, sankalpa prabhavyo vidhu, it says sankalpa, everything is sankalpam. So everything may not be positive, sometime there could be negative also. Negative sankalpam can happen. So sometimes we can see people, we imagine sometimes about the ghost, isn't it? Ghosts and devils and things like that. It's a sankalpam it is. Actually, there's nothing like that as a ghost which is wandering around. What happens is, say, you are on your own, alone in the night, it's not bright enough, dark, or there's a little bit of moonlight, you're walking through a forest or something, and suddenly you see a tree moving a little bit, and inside, you already had the sankalpam inside about a ghost, particular form. And but immediately the fear manifests inside. Fear manifests inside. So those who have not come out of the mind, for them there is ghost. All this is sankalpam only. Practically, it is the mind that is creating all kinds of fear, all kinds of imaginations, according to the mind projecting its own understanding within this power of Chit Shakti. Once it so happened, the two persons, they were passing through, and on the roadside there was a church. And the church compound, there was a very, very nice fruit tree, apple or some fruits, they were there on the tree. Plenty of fruits in that. And the church gate was locked, and so they together decided that we will get all those fruits in the night from the tree. So both of them went to this church compound in the night, and they started getting all the fruits from the tree. Everything they pulled out. It was at that time, there was another person who was coming in the night in that way. He is walking through that way. And these two people, he heard them, that whatever fruits they have plucked, they were sharing it. They were nice fruits, very nice fruits. And there was a lot of them. So they have plucked everything and they were sharing it. So he heard them from the other side. They were sharing. They were taking one for me, one for you, one for me, one for you. They were saying like that. So this person, he didn't know what was going on. He heard this only. They were talking to each other. This is for me, this for you, this for me, this for you, like this. So he got frightened in his mind. He thought these two devils are sharing all the souls who are stuck in the compound, the church compound. So he went straight to the priest and told the priest that there are these devils there inside the cemetery. And because adjacent to the church there was a cemetery, and they are sharing all the souls there, each other. They are sharing them. So the priest said, no, it cannot happen, he said, that He said, he said, I do not believe in that, he said. But then he said, let's go and have a look at it, he said. So both of them together went there and keeping them. And so by now they have finished their counting. And they were talking to each other like this. Father heard this, that one for you. And then the one of them were saying, there is two standing outside. I will get one for you and one for me. They were saying like that. What they were saying was, two fruits have fallen on the other side, and I'll take one and you can have the other. But these two thought, the priest and the other thought, they are going to take us also into one each for them. So they got frightened like that. So as soon as they heard this, they ran from there straight away. They didn't stay there anymore. So when they went there in the morning, they saw that these two fruits were lying outside the compound. So whenever we create sankalpam inside, just like this person who came through that way, he was 100% sure that there is in the cemetery, there are souls wandering around and the devils come there in the night and they share these the souls which haven't got a gross body. And so many perceptions like that. So mind, what it does is, it will imagine things which are not necessary. True, which are not necessarily true. It can imagine. It has got that capacity, isn't it? We all know that. The mind has got amazing capacity to imagine things. Imagine things. Just like if you ask one who has read Srimad Bhagavatam or any Puranam and ask him about what is your understanding about spiritual world. You ask 10 people, you will get 10 different answers about spiritual world. I heard once in Radha Desh one devotee saying that he thought spiritual world is like Switzerland, he said. He even said that in the class. I was sitting listening to that. He was saying that. Because in his imagination, spiritual world should be like Switzerland. If you ask an English devotee, you will say it's like the Lake District. So what is spiritual world like then? What is it like? It is a sankalpam, the power of that sankalpam inside. We all have, according to our own vasanas, we will, just like we read about Vrindavanam in the Bhagavatam. And we go to Vrindavanam and say, start thinking, is this Vrindavanam what Bhagavatam is talking about? So all this is the mind. It's a mind that is creating this sankalpam inside. Sankalpam inside. So such is the power of the mind. And that is why it is mentioned here that Arjuna is going through that experience now. Krishna is saying to him, in your mind, whatever you want to see, think about it, it will happen now to you, right now, because Krishna has switched on the chit shakti. Let it happen to him. Krishna's desire is like that. That's why Krishna is, and right now, here, it will happen. Ihaigastam jagal krishnam pashyadyascha characharam. Anything, moving, non-moving, any object you are thinking about, a man with 400 forms, 800 Brahma, anything you want to see, you think it will happen now. That's how creation is. Mama dehe guda kesha yachanyal drishtum ichasi. You can see that in me, all of that happening. Arjuna's shock. Arjuna was shocked. So, the question is that if anything we create sankalpam like that, if that all happens, what will happen to us? If we start thinking like that. So Arjuna's inside is full of yuddhavasana, isn't it? About the war. What is going to happen? Arjuna is very conscious of that. Arjuna's mind is completely absorbed in the war. You have to remember that. At this point in time when Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Arjuna's mind is completely absorbed in the war. And it is because of that you will notice whatever Arjuna saw at that time is all the personalities who were standing in the battlefield. Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Kripa, all the great, great personalities. And the Kauravas, Duryodhana, and all of them Arjuna is seeing in the universal form. You see? That is the sankalpam, power of the sankalpam. Inside, Krishna says to Arjuna, whatever you want to see, you can see. And according to Arjuna's sankalpam inside, this is all going through his mind and that what manifested personally in front of him at that time. So whatever vasana we have inside, whatever desires we have created or sangalpams we have created, so that will come in front of us. So if Krishna shows us universal form by any reason, whatever we have experienced in our previous lifetimes and whatever misery we have go through in our previous lifetime, all of that will come in our universal form. This is how universal form works. Because universal form, when you read the chapter, you won't see the thoughts behind it. You see, here and there you'll pick up. That's why I'm saying yogam is combined with jnanam. Here it is. Jnanam is this, that sangalpam creates everything in us. Whatever we have thought about in this life, previous life, life before that, it has to happen one day. It has to happen one day. That is why constantly experiences are coming to us. In another way, if you put it is this sangalpam that has turned into vasana and karmam later. You see? So, the sangalpam that has originated at some point in our life, in some lifetime, has taken the form of vasana and karmam, and that result of the karmam is happening to us in some form. It's all very connected each other. It's not, that is why, if you remember later on, we will see in the Bhikshu Gita, in the Bhagavadam, that there is that Bhikshu story. We will discuss when we get to that. Nayam jano me sukha dukha hedu na deva dalma griha karma kalam mana parab karana mamanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. The Bhikshu is saying there, his deepest realization he is speaking. He is speaking from his very depth of realization. He is saying that nayam jano me sukha dukha hedu. Nobody is responsible for my distress in this life, in this world. Nayam janome sugadukha hedu. Sukham dukham, happiness and distress. Nobody is responsible here. Na devadalpa griha karma kalaha. It is not due to any other demigods are giving me this problem. Not my graham planet's position, like according to astrology. Not even the time, what I am going through. Bad time, they say like that, isn't it? Astrologers say good time, bad time and all that. None of them are responsible. Not even the karmam, he says. Why? Karmam has also born from the mind. Manaparam karanam amanandi. Mind is the cause of everything. I have understood that now, he says. He is in a very deep, highly realized state. He is speaking that. Manaparam karanam amanandi. It is because of this mind alone, I had to go through these different bodies, life after life. He says, samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. Samsara chakram, this life of birth and death, cycle of material life, leaving this body, accepting another body, leaving that body, accepting another body. This cycle continues because of this thing called mind. That is where Bhikshu Gita is talking about. Krishna will talk about that later in the Bhagavadam, in the 29th chapter or something like that. 28th chapter, I think. So, here, Arjuna is experiencing here that the Arjuna is seeing the war which is going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. The war which is going to happen. It is in his imagination at that time. And that is happening already there in front of him. So because it was happening there, and also the different forms he has worshipped in his previous times, in his previous times, before he, Krishna was Arjuna's friend. Arjuna was a great devotee of Shiva. That you know, later on you will see. Arjuna was a Shiva's devotee, great devotee. So, Arjuna has studied all the Vedas and Puranas very well. And even he has gone to the heavenly planets with the demigods. He has gone and fought the war there. On request from Indra, Arjuna had to go there once to fight the war. So, all those different forms of the demigods, everything Arjuna is seeing here now. So, you require a particular strength, a particular ability to see all those things. And what is that strength? That is what Krishna is talking about there.
If you look into that verse, you will see that Krishna says to Arjuna, that ihaigastam jagal krishnam pashyadyascha characharam mama dehe gudakesha yachanyal drishtumichasi. Then in the next verse he says here, nadumam shakyase drishtam anenaiva sachakshusham divyam dadami de chakshum pashyame yogam aishwaram nadumam shakyase drishtam anenaiva sachakshusham divyam dadami de chakshum pashyame yogam aishwaram. Krishna realizes Arjuna's situation and says to Arjuna, Arjuna, I understand in your present state you can't see all these things. You just don't have that capacity to see that. Although all your sankalpam is there, you just don't have that vision to see that. Nadumam visvarupadharam shakyase drishtam anena eva pragrudena svachakshusha sogiyena chakshusha yena tu shakyase drishtam divyena tad divyam dadamide tubhyam chakshu tenaha pashyame yogam aishwaram isharasya mama aishwaram yogam yoga shakti adishayam ityartaha. All these things for you to see, your ordinary eyes are not capable of doing that. I'll give you that proper eyesight for seeing that, and through those eyes you can see them. That is what Krishna says to Arjuna. That is what that verse, nadumam shakyase drishtam anenaiva svachakshusha divyam dadamide chakshu pashyame yogam aishwaram, pashyame yogam aishwaram. Because our material eyes, these eyes, it has its limitations. It can perceive certain things within certain power and certain range, isn't it? Just like these eyes won't give you a true picture if you look at the sun planet. It will show you a disk in the sky, is it not? But the size of the sun planet is much bigger than the earthly planet. But eyes will give you an impression that it is much smaller than the earthly planet when you look at it from here. Similarly, the moon planet, similarly all the stars. So that shows that the eye has its own limitations. From this, because the eyes are like that, equally bad are all the other senses as well. In this body. All the senses are imperfect. Because it's like that, it is impossible to accept the knowledge what is acquired through the senses. That cannot be accepted as knowledge. Practically what Krishna is saying here is that there is a defect or manufacturing defect in all of us. There's a manufacturing defect in all of us. And that is why not only in us, even in the creation. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita later, anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. What it means is, material world is, creation is temporary. It is full of misery. Krishna is saying this. Krishna is saying to us, material world is temporary, it's full of misery. Because of that, don't stay around here long. Come out of this place and escape from here. Come back to me. Or in other words, realize the truth and get out. Krishna is saying to us. Because Krishna has spoken like that, the person who has created all these things himself is admitting that there is a manufacturing problem for the creation. Is it not? When Krishna is saying to us, anityam asugham logam, manufacturing defect is there in this creation. So don't try to make it perfect on your own. Already it is created with a manufacturing defect. Anityam asugham logam. Some people are very particular about perfection in this world. Isn't it? If you observe certain people, they want everything has to be so perfect. And if it is not perfect, they get very disturbed over it. What Krishna is saying to us, I have created this imperfect way, everything in this world. And if you are looking for perfection, it is not possible here. It's not possible. Anityam asukham lokam. This place is like that. By creation itself is a temporary place and it's a miserable place. So don't try to be happy here. That's the message. That's the message from Krishna. So here also, Krishna is saying here, these eyes are also has its own limitations. It can't see everything properly. Therefore, divyam dadamide chakshu. He says, nadamam shakyase drishtam anenaiva sa chakshusha. Divyam dadamide chakshu pashyame yogam aishwaram. Divyam dadamide chakshu pashyame yogam aishwaram. He says, Indi, that what is that divyam dadamide chakshu? That inside, if the mind get hold of the pranan inside. See, mind and pranan are closely connected, isn't it? How does it work? We eat food. Food gets transformed into mind. Mind gets transformed into pranan. Pranan is the most subtle part of the mind. Or in other words, mind is a gross form of pranan. Yeah? Mind, pranan, food, all are connected to each other. This is why Prabhupada and all, everybody insists that you should have prasadam only. Not to eat things which will upset the whole balance of the mind. So, pranan, mind and the food, they are connected. Bhagavad Gita also says very clearly about that, isn't it? So, when the pranan inside, if it is linked to the mind properly, if you are able to link them together, the pranan and the mind, which is a yoga thing. It is a yoga thing. It is not from the jnanam. It is from the yoga side. Arjuna, Krishna is saying to Arjuna here, that this divine eyes, Divya Chakshusa, as it is called here, that if you can get hold of the pranan in a subtle level by the mind, what you can do, you can see the whole creation as the universal form. This is the subtle understanding. That is what is happening here. That Krishna is allowing Arjuna to bring him to that subtle platform of linking Arjuna's mind with the pranan. Pranan is the energy that is permeating, Krishna's energy permeating in the whole creation. So, if somehow or the other, by Krishna's mercy alone, that's what's happening here, that Arjuna is able to connect his mind with the pranan. With the pranan. Pranan means the energy, what is permeating everywhere. And he is seeing everything, the universal form of Krishna. In the Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna talks about this later. We will see at that time. So, when the eye, when your drishti, vision becomes very, very subtle, and we will experience the background of this whole creation as well. So, this kind of vision, simply by normal circumstances, through yoga practice, it is possible to reach that state. Through Ashtanga Yoga, it is possible to reach that state. Of course, it is only for those who are very advanced in the Ashtanga Yoga process, which is the most difficult process also. So, otherwise, alternatively, with the help of the realized souls, jnanis or great mahatmas, or those who are liberated or established in Brahman, by their mercy, you can have it for a short period of time. Normally, the connection between the mind and the pranan is established through the yoga process. It's all in the yoga system. Ashtanga Yoga is famous because of all this. Many people are getting attracted to Ashtanga Yoga because of these things, isn't it? You know, there are so many schools which are teaching the yoga traditions. There is in Pune, the famous institute, Iyengar Yoga System, and so many others like that. And many people, particularly from the West, they are attracted to that. They like that because there is some solid results coming through. Otherwise, jnanam, bhakti and all that, it's a little bit difficult. Don't know whether I'll make it or not. But yogam, they feel that they can try, give it a shot and see if it some things will come out of it. There is no doubt about that. Ashtanga yogam, if it is practiced properly, you will see that there is some benefits in at least in the life in this world. That's why, therefore, they get attracted. It may not turn into self-realization. That will only happen through jnanam or bhakti. But whatever it may be, this connection with the mind and the pranan is important for the universal experience of the universal form. So here, what it can happen, either Krishna's mercy in the way Arjuna has happened, or in the presence of great jnanis or great realized souls or mahatmas, or who are fully established in the Brahman realized state. For some time, one can experience that. Some people, if they have purified themselves well inside, purity of their own consciousness, that this vision will happen to them. There are great poets who have created some great wonders in this world through their poetical creation, through this kind of experiences like that. Some of their poetries have shown that they were in a state which they could not even imagine, due to very high degree of purity inside. So, similarly, due to the mercy of the spiritual master also, it can happen. Divyam dadamide chakshu pashyame yogam aishwaram. Aishwaram means here, aishwaram yogam. Yoga means maya here. That's what it means. Yoga means maya here. Here, Krishna is saying, referring to yogam is actually referring to maya. This universal form is nothing but maya. So, Krishna is saying here, Divyam dadamide chakshu pashyame yogam aishwaram. That yogam, Krishna is saying, the aishwaram of all the maya. That means the opulences of all the maya you can see now due to the eyes I have given you, which is this special eyes what Krishna has offered to him. So, in other words, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, see my maya now as much as you like. Whatever you want to see, you can see. An interesting thing here is that, and whatever Krishna was showing to Arjuna, Sanjay has also seen that. So, what Krishna has given to Arjuna, Vedavyasa Maharshi gave to Sanjay at that time. This is how in the Bhagavad Gita this is happening. What Krishna gave to Arjuna to see that universal form, Vedavyasa Maharshi gave to Sanjaya to explain that to Dhritarashtra. That is how Sanjaya is talking to Dhritarashtra these things, isn't it? Sanjaya is sitting somewhere else in the palace with Dhritarashtra. And what's happening between Krishna and the Arjuna? Krishna gave that divine vision to Arjuna to see. Similarly, Vedavyasa Maharshi gave that vision to Sanjaya to see, and he explains that to Dhritarashtra there. Because Vedavyasa Maharshi is such jnani, it's a realized soul, isn't it? So the same strength what Krishna presented to Arjuna, universal form, Vedavyasa Maharshi is present, Sanjaya is presenting to Dhritarashtra also. So, and that is why you will see the next verses is, Sanjaya is describing the next few verses. 9, 10, 11 and 12, if you read them all together, we'll go through that. Verse 9. Sanjaya uvacham. Eva muktva tato rajan. Mahayogeshwaro hari. Darshayama sapartaya. Paramam rubam aishwaram. Eva muktva tato rajan. Mahayogeshwaro hari darshayama sapartaya paramam rupam aishwaram aneka vaktra nayanam aneka albhuta darshanam aneka divya bharanam divyanegodhyathayudham aneka vaktra nayanam aneka albhuta darshanam aneka divya bharanam divyanegodhyathayudham divyamalyam bharataram divyagandhanulepanam sarvasharyamayam deva anandam vishvato mukham ദിവ്യമാലയാംഭരതരം ദിവ്യഗന്ധാനുലേപനം സർവാശ്ചര്യമയം ദേവ അനന്തം വിശ്വതോമുഖം ദിവി സൂര്യസഹസ്രസ്യ ഭവേദ്യുഗപദുത്ഥിത യദി ബാസദൃശീ സാ സ്യാൽ ബാസസ്തസ്യ മഹാത്മനാ ദിവി സൂര്യസഹസ്രസ്യ ഭവേദ്യുഗപദുത്ഥിത യദി ഭാസദൃശീ സാ സ്യാൽ ഭാസസ്തസ്യ മഹാത്മനാഃ. ഓക്കേ, സഞ്ജയ ഉവാച, ഫോർ വേഴ്സസ്. സഞ്ജയ ഈസ് സെയിങ്, ഏവം ഉക്ത്വാ തതോ രാജൻ മഹായോഗേശ്വരോ ഹരി ദർശയാമാസ പാർത്ഥായ പരമം രൂപം ഐശ്വരം. സഞ്ജയ സെയ്സ് ടു ധൃതരാഷ്ട്ര ദാറ്റ് മഹായോഗേശ്വരോ ഹരി, ദ ഗ്രേറ്റ് യോഗേശ്വര കൃഷ്ണ, ആഫ്റ്റർ സെയിങ് ദിസ് ഷോഡ് ഹിസ് ഫോം ടു അർജുന, ഷോഡ് ദിസ് ഫോം ടു അർജുന. മഹായോഗേശ്വരോ ഹരി ദർശയാമാസ പാർത്ഥായ പരമം രൂപം ഐശ്വരം, ഷോഡ് ടു അർജുന ദാറ്റ് യൂണിവേഴ്സൽ ഫോം ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ, ദാറ്റ് യൂണിവേഴ്സൽ ഫോം ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ. So after you have heard this background of this universal form, now you can understand what Arjuna is seeing now. Based on the perceptions and all the sankalpam inside, a particular universal form is manifested in Krishna. He is seeing Krishna in that way at this point in time. At this point in time. And that is why what he saw, evam yathokta prakarena uktva tataha. As Krishna spoke before, yathokta prakarena tada, accordingly. Anandaram he raja, dhritarashtra mahayogeshwara, mahanja aso yogeshwara cha hari. Mahayogeshwara, that's the title given to Krishna. Hari, narayano, darshayamasa. Darshidavan parthaya. Krishna is showing and Arjuna is seeing. Pritha sudhaya paramam rupam vishwarupam aishwaram. That's form of Krishna, full of these opulences of Maya, full of this opulences of Maya. And what was the speciality of that? And many, many faces, many eyes, and wearing many kind of jewelry, and many weapons in the hands. Anega vaktrayanam, anegani vaktrani nainani. Many, many faces and many, many eyes in those faces. Yasmin rube tad anega vaktrayanam, anega albhuta darshanam. When he is seeing all that, it is actually, he is struck with wonder. Arjuna is struck with wonder, seeing all these different forms in form. Anegani albhudani vismamagani darshanani. Albhudam vismayam darshanam for him. Everything is very shocking to Arjuna at this point. Tatha, similarly, anega divyabharanam. Many, many divine jewelry. Divine abharanam. I mean, abharana means not only the what they wear in the neck, all on their shoulders, hands, everything. They wear different kinds of ornaments in the body, isn't it? If you look, different deities have different ornaments they wear, isn't it? Krishna, Vishnu has this club. Shiva has the trident in him, different weapons. And Shiva has different kinds of snakes and deer skin and elephant skin, everything. That is Shiva's decoration. Vishnu's decoration is the vanamala, that means the garland of forest flowers. And similarly, Sri Valsam and different things, what Vishnu form, sandalwood pulp and Krishna's beautiful tilak, peacock feather, things like that. This is all associated with Vishnu forms. Similarly, you have the, if you look at the form, Maya, when Yogamaya appeared at the time of Krishna's appearance, when she left, Kamsa threw her out and she went into the sky and showed her form with 800 forms. All 8 hands had 8 different weapons there in her hands. 8 different weapons in 8 different hands. You will see that description in the Bhagavatam. So different forms have different way of dressing and different ornaments and different weapons, everything. That's what it is saying here. അനേക വക്രം നയനം, അനേകം അത്ഭുത ദർശനം, അനേക ദിവ്യ ആഭരണം, ദിവ്യം ഏകാദ്യുധായുധം. വെപ്പൺസ് ആർ ഓൾസോ വെരി ഡിവൈൻ വെപ്പൺസ്. സിമിലർലി ഓൾ ദി ഓർണമെന്റ്സ് ആൻഡ് ജ്വല്ലറി വാട്ട് ദേ വർ വെയറിങ് ആർ ഓൾസോ വെരി ഡിവൈൻ. എവറിഥിങ് ഈസ് ദിവ്യാനി അനേകാനി ഉദ്യതാനി ആയുധാനി എസ്മിൻ തദ് ദിവ്യാൻ ഏകാദ്യുധായുധം ദർശയാമാസ ഇതി പൂർവേണ സംബന്ധ. This is all related with, from previous thing. Because Arjuna will see, Arjuna sees the form of Sri Parvati with the 800 form, Arjuna will recognize that form. Similarly, you will notice also, whenever you see Ramachandra, it's always with bow and arrow, isn't it? Whenever you see Hanuman, it's with the club in the hand. That's how you recognize it's Hanuman, isn't it? So similarly, Krishna, whenever you remember the form of Krishna, it's always with the flute in the hand, peacock feather, and the yellow garment. That is Krishna's form that is in our mind, in our form, how we will think about Krishna. So all these things Arjuna is seeing. Divya Malayam Bharadayam Divya Gandhanu Lepanam. When Krishna showed that form to Arjuna, Arjuna also noticed there Divyamailyam Bharadaram. All the garlands they were wearing were also very divine garlands. And the smell that was coming from that and all their bodily, the odor from their body were also very divine. Sarva Ascharyamayam Deva. It was actually complete wonder. Arjuna is looking at that form. Anandam Vishodo Mukham. Unlimited faces. Unlimited personalities all in one place, standing there in place of Krishna. Arjuna is seeing this. Sarvashcharyamayam devam anandam na asya andaha asti idi anandanam vishudomukham. So why is it like that? Everything is wonder to Arjuna, and Arjuna saw it is unlimited. Why is it unlimited? Because Krishna is the soul of all the living entities, all living entities. Because it is like that, it is that same soul in different forms present. Soul is one. In all these, what Arjuna is seeing, the soul is one. But it has taken these different forms and manifested in front of Arjuna. That is the power of Maya. Maya is doing the same thing with us also. It's created all these bodies, and the same soul is present in everyone. And everyone is thinking that I am different, I am separate, and we all have different identities and all other avidya that we have acquired along with that. Ya na puna bhagavado vishwarupasya bhaha tasyaha upama uchyate. So one more thing it does here is that this effulgence that is coming from that form, it is comparing that with the Arjuna's comparison of that effulgence of that universal form. Although in all these forms Krishna has manifested in front of Arjuna, Arjuna is seeing that form and Arjuna is in a terrible shock. First, due to the form itself. Secondly, due to the effulgence from that form. That is what Arjuna is saying in that verse. Divi surya sahasrasya bhaved yugabadutthida yadiba sadrashi sasyal vasastasya mahalmanam. Divi means Andariksha. Andariksha means in the atmosphere. Tritiyasyamva Divi Suryanam Sahasram Surya Sahasraha. Thousands and thousands of sun, when they come together, how powerful it will be, the effulgence. That's how that powerful it was, the effulgence that was coming from there. Tasya Yugabad Tasyam Yugabad Uthida Bhaha Sayadi Sadrashisya Tasya Mahalpano Vishwarupasya. So, Vishwarupam, yes, universal form, the illumination is so powerful as though it is thousands of sun joined together. So, simple terms, if you can't imagine that, how powerful that, all you have to do is that it is more powerful than any other powerful effulgence in this world, what you experience. It is much more powerful than the sun, the powerful essential. Therefore, it says here that... തത്രൈകസ്തം ജഗൽ കൃഷ്ണം പ്രവിഭക്തം അനേകധാം അപശ്യദേവദേവസ്യ Sharire Pandavastadam. Tatraikastam Jagal Krishnam. Pravibhaktam Anekatham. Apashyadevadevasya. Sharire Pandavastadam. Tatra Tasmin Visharupe. Ekasmin Stidam Ekastam Jagal Krishnam Pravibhaktam Anekada Deva Pitru Manishyadi Vedehi Apashyal Drishtavan Deva Devase Hare Sharire Pandavaha Arjunaha Tada. So here, one thing what we have to know is that Mahayogeshwaro Hari, earlier Sanjaya mentioned about Krishna like that, isn't it? Mahayogeshwaro Hari, Krishna is that Mahayogeshwara. So, only such a Mahayogeshwara can do this, like the way he has done that. Yogeshwara is there, but Yogeshwara also is there. Yogeshwara is there, Yogeshwara is there. Here it is not Yogeshwara, it is Yogeshwara. It is Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara means one who knows, studied the yogam very well. One who has studied the, practiced the yogam very well. He is called Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara means that thing what you have to achieve through yoga. That is Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara, Yogeshwara and Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara is the person who has practiced yoga system very well and learned the yoga system well. Yogeshwara is the goal what you achieve through yoga. And that is what is mentioned here. In Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavatam also, Uddhava addresses Krishna like that. If you notice, when Arjuna and Krishna started the conversation in the Ekadasha Skandam, you will see Yoga Esha Yoga Vinyasa Yoga Alma Yoga Sambhavam Nishrayasa Ye Prokta Tyagam Sanyasa Lakshanam. That is how that conversation begins. Uddhava says to Krishna, Yoga Esha Yoga Vinyasa Yoga Alma Yoga Sambhava Nishrayasa Ye Prokta Tyagam Sanyasa Lakshanam. When Krishna started instructing Uddhava in the Srimad Bhagavatam, initially Krishna was going to leave the world, isn't it? It was then that Uddhava goes to Krishna and asks Krishna to instruct him on the self-realization. That is where in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhavopadesham starts. So the beginning of that conversation itself is Yogesha, Yoga Vinyasa, Yoga Alma, Yoga Sambhava. Nishrayasayame prokta tyagam sanyasa lakshanaha. He says, Uddhava was wondering, how should I address Krishna? Yogesha, control of all yoga system. Yoga vinyasa, everything is directed towards you. Yoga alma, you are the soul of all the yoga processes. Yoga sambhava, it is you who eventually hands over the results also. Yogesha, yoga vinyasa, yoga alma, yoga sambhava. Nishrayasayame proktam tyagam sanyasa lakshanam. What is beneficial for me? Please instruct me on that. Tyagam sanyasa lakshanam. Sanyasa lakshanam is tyagam. That is the important. So in the Bhagavatam, that description is there. Tyagam sanyasa lakshanam. In the Bhagavad Gita commentary, sanyasa lakshanam is mentioned as jnanam. Jnanam sanyasa lakshanam. So jnanam and tyagam, it is from tyagam jnanam comes. When one completely free himself from the false ego inside and totally hands over this body, mind, words, energy, everything to Krishna, and completely in Krishna's service when one lives in this world, that is tyagam. That is tyagam. In that state, that is sannyasa lakshanam. That is the symptom of a sannyasam. And that same thing is jnanam sannyasa lakshanam spoken. That is knowledge. That is knowledge. So here Krishna says here, the goal of all the yoga system, Uddhava says here, is Krishna. Goal of all yoga system is Krishna. So that Krishna, Darshaya Masa Parthaya, allowed Partha to see what he says, his Swarupam, his this form of Krishna, which is this universal form. Wherever he looked, what did he see? So many faces. And whichever he looks, it was all Krishna present everywhere, in everything. Wherever, this is interesting. Because if you look into Bhagavad Gita, all these things you need to sit down alone sometime and read through. Don't listen to Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam like katha. I heard all the katha story, now it's I've understood everything and gone home. That will not work. Here you have to spend some time and take Bhagavad Gita and read these verses in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavadam to get to know that what is Krishna is talking about. In other words, if you will see here, wherever he looked, he saw so many faces, isn't it? So many faces of Krishna. And everything is Krishna's face because it's coming in front of Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you remember, in the 13th chapter, we looked at this verse before. Sarvada Panipadam Dal Sarvadoksha Shiro Mukham. If you look into the 13th chapter, you will see the verse number 14. Krishna is saying there, Sarvada Panipadam Dal Sarvadoksha Shiro Mukham. There is a verse there. Sarvada Pani Padam Thal Sarvada Okshi Shiromukham Sarvada Shudimal Loge Sarvam Avritya Tishtadi. Remember that? Sarvada Pani Padam Dal Sarvada Okshi Shiromukham Sarvada Shudimal Loge Sarvam Avritya Tishtadi. This is that form. Then Arjuna looked and everything is Krishna everywhere. Krishna's hands and eyes are everywhere, hands and legs are everywhere, and eyes and the face is everywhere. Sarvadam Shrutimal Loke and Sarvam Avritya Tishtati. And Krishna is enveloping the whole creation. In everything, only he is seeing Krishna. He is seeing Krishna everywhere. He is seeing Krishna everywhere. And you look at the next words also, you will see. Sarvendriya Guna Abhasam. Sarvendriya Vivarjitam Asaktam Sarvabuk Chaiva Nirgunam Gunabok Tracham. Sarvendriya Guna Abhasam Sarvendriya Vivarjitam Asaktam Sarvabuk Chaiva Nirgunam Gunabok Tracham. It is due to Krishna's presence that all the senses in this world are working due to the presence of Krishna. But Krishna is not present in any of the senses. It's by the very presence of Krishna, senses operate. At the same time, all senses power is coming from Krishna. So, although he is not affected by any of the sensual activities in this world, the senses receive their power from Krishna. That's why, Asaktam Sarvabhuk Chaiva Nurgunam Gunabhoktraja. Material modes of nature will not touch Krishna. But material modes of nature allows the senses to operate within the modes only due to Krishna's presence. This is how spirit works. We talk about spiritual life. What do we understand about spiritual life? Only when you understand the subtleties of the spirit, you will appreciate the spirit. Appreciate the glory of the spirit. We are only seeing everything from based on a gross bodily level and gross material elements. And therefore, we cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. We find it difficult. Why Bhagavad Gita says things which is impossible to understand? Impossible is because then everything, the power of the spirit, when Krishna is revealing through Bhagavad Gita, you have no choice except to accept that Krishna is talking about the very basic basis of everything in the creation. Whatever we consider as wonderful, amazing in this world is nothing compared to what the spirit soul is capable of. Sarvendriya Gunabhasam, Sarvendriya Vivarjitam, Asaktam, Sarvabhrukchaiva, Nirgunam Gunabhoktracha. To tell us that the relationship between the spirit and the matter. Relationship between the spirit and the matter. The spirit is always powerful. Spirit is that creates the matter and allows the matter to operate in this world. Then we also saw this word earlier before when we discussed Ishavanishad. Bahirandascha Bhudanam Ajaram Charamevaja Sushmatvad Avijnayam Durastam Chantikecha Tata. Then Bahirandascha Bhudanam, inside, outside of all the living entities, Krishna is present there. Ajaram Charamevava, either moving or they are non-moving, it doesn't matter. And because it is so subtle, it is difficult to know about him. Sushmatvad Tad Avijnayam. Because it is so sushmam, it is very difficult to know about it. And what else? Durastam chandike chatat. We always think that he is far, far away, but he is the closest thing to us. Durastam chandike chatat. Although it appears as though he is the furthest from us, in reality he is the closest to us. So you can see how Bhagavad Gita is opening up a lot of things to us for which are to change our understanding. So here, Sushmatva Tadavitin Durastam Adhikaya. Upanishad is also, these verses have come from Upanishads. I mentioned that when we talked about Kathopanishad. Sorry, when we talked about Ishavasu Upanishad. So Ishavasu Upanishad took these verses from the Kathopanishad. And there it is mentioned there, Upanishad is also giving an explanation of Krishna's universal form. Just like Bhagavad Gita is here, Krishna is showing to Arjuna. In Upanishads, there is a description of the universal form already there, much before Krishna has shown this to Arjuna. And there you can see, Upanishad is describing Krishna's universal form. All eyes are Krishna's eyes. All eyes are Krishna's eyes. All heads are Krishna's heads. And all bodies are Krishna's body. Vishwadhamukham. And wherever you look, there is only Krishna. Nothing else exists in this creation. Then, once you have experienced it and realized it, where is the possibility of us doing something wrong? Till that time, we will continue to commit so many mistakes in ignorance, so many mistakes. So, once this realization comes, that all bodies in this world are Krishna's body, all heads are Krishna's heads, and wherever you look, what you see, Vishwato Mukham, that is what it says here, isn't it? Anandam Vishwato Mukham. Anandam Vishwato Mukham. Vishwato Mukham is this, that when Arjuna looked, all he could see was this form of Krishna in present in everything. So what happens at that time, as I mentioned before, Arjuna lost his strength. He could not stand this. One time Arjuna was thinking, I am the middle of the Pandava, I am the best fighter in the world, I am this, I have to win the war, Krishna is helping me to drive the chariot for me, this is, but fighting ultimately I have to do. Krishna is only a driver. This was his concept, in his illusion, he was thinking like that. But when Krishna showed this universal form, Arjuna understood that he is nothing in front of Krishna. In front of Krishna. In that huge universal form, Arjuna is a tiny speck there who is nothing compared to. So he could not say anything anymore to Krishna. If you look at the verses later on, after this universal form experiences, how Arjuna is falling at Krishna's feet again and again and again and saying to Krishna, whatever I have spoken in the past, forgive me, I did not know who you were. That is Arjuna's open admission. So, If this universal form has helped Arjuna that understand that in all living entities who is present inside is Krishna. And if that happens, it is impossible at that stage for the false ego to come up in a person. If this realization comes, false ego will automatically leave us. There is no other way. So this universal form helps us to get rid of the false ego straight away. The one false ego which we are all fighting against. Remember, false ego we spoke about all the time, isn't it? Every time. People, you may be thinking, why I keep on talking about this false ego so much? What is there to talk about it? But this is the whole thing in this whole unit, giving us all the problems. Continuously this, and that is what is separating us from Krishna as well. So, ahankaram cannot come up anymore. So, if there is nothing that is separated from Krishna, nothing exists separated from Krishna, even if any false ego pops up, that false ego is also Krishna. Is it not? That is how that realization comes. See, initially, why do our false ego interact with another false ego? Because we think that false ego is separate from my false ego. Isn't it? That's why false egos clash. Because they are thinking that they are separate. But actually, by Krishna's arrangement, Krishna is present in everyone. And once that realization is complete, then the false ego cannot come up again. But if it do come up, you will see that that false ego also as Krishna, also as Krishna, because it is not possible to have ahamkriti. Ahamkriti means ahankaram or false ego separately from Krishna, separated from Krishna. That is not possible. This is the shastram. So anandam vishudo mukham. So Krishna is present everywhere in all the forms. He is present there, and thousands and thousands of suns are present there. Sahasrasya, that explanation of the sun is very interesting here. It's very important also, comparison with the sun. Why it's compared to the sun? It's an important question, isn't it? Vedavyasa Maharshi won't use his words in a very, it's not a poetical description. It has a lot of meaning behind it. Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhavedyuga Badutthida Yadi Basadrashi Sasyal Basastasya Mahalmana. Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhavedyuga Badutthida Yadi Basadrashi Sasyal Basastasya Mahatmana. In this particular point, Ajari Swamiji describes this very well in the Shivananda Lahari about this. He says to Krishna like this. He says that one sun, when it appears in the morning, it removes the whole darkness of this world, isn't it? There's only one sun. It appears in the morning and immediately all the darkness is removed. And here, thousands of suns, he says, has appeared, and still the darkness has not gone inside me. What does that mean? Ajari Swamiji says to Krishna, it is not the fault of you. The darkness in me is so deep. To stress this point again, that the darkness, what is inside us, not allowing us to realize the truth, is so deep inside. He mentions this. The verse is, Eko varija bandha vakshiti nabhuvyaptam tamo mandalam Bitwa lojane gojarobi bhavadi tuam kodi surya prabhaha. Millions and millions of suns can illuminate. You are that powerful. This appearance in the universal form, it is millions and millions of suns, effulgence is there. But still, Vedyakim nabhavasyaho ghanadaram kidrang bhave mattamas talsalvyam vyaminiyame pashupate sachal prasanno bhavaha. Even though you have appeared in front of me in this millions of suns effulgence, still the darkness inside me is not going. I am still the same person. I am still that ignorant, in other words. Why is it? It is not due to that you lack the effulgence or brightness, because my depth of ignorance in me is so deep. If Ajari Swamiji can say this, what is our state? Imagine how much ignorance we should be in, that, and we are, what are we doing? We are taking Bhagavad Gita back and forth and saying that this doesn't make sense, that doesn't make sense, nothing makes sense, and we keep criticizing everything, and then we say it's boring, it's not nice, this is all same thing and all. Why? The deep ignorance inside is speaking very openly, that this is how ignorant I am. That is the conclusion. Eko varija bandhava kshitina bhavyaptam tamo mandalam. The depth of darkness inside is so deep that even after millions of suns comes in front of us, it's still not, the darkness doesn't go. Whereas one sun in the morning comes and it removes all the darkness in this world. So here Bhagavad Gita is saying that the darkness inside me is so powerful, he says here, Kshitinabho Mandalam, how thick the darkness should be inside. Imagine that. How thick the darkness inside us. That is what we have to agree with. Is it not? What we have to agree with. We are reading Bhagavad Gita. We are chanting the holy name. We are doing the deity worship. And we are going on whatever we say, parikramam or tirthyatra or whatever, everything we are doing, years after year after year. As soon as something little happens to the body, immediately the whole thing is gone. very disturbed about it. So what does it indicate? A little thing happens in life, immediately we are disturbed over it, isn't it? Why is it? That is the depth of darkness inside. That's the depth of darkness inside. To make us aware where we stand from the spiritual platform. Attachment to the body, attachment to the mind, identification with the body, mind, intelligence and ego. It is not very easy to take it away. Take it away. We may keep on endeavoring very hard, but if we do not recognize how deep that ignorance inside us is, these verses are spoken to tell us that that is where the Krishna's kripa or mercy is required. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So, what is the secret? It is true that thousands of suns are effulgence is coming. When we realize that soul, when we self-realization happens, it will be like the thousand suns effulgence. That's what's the experience at that moment. And that is how in the samadhi state, when realization happens of the soul, what we are, the experience will be like this. Experience will be like this. That is why this particular verse is referring to. In the self-realization happens, Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhaved Yugabadutida Yadiba Sadrashi Syasyad Bhasastasya Mahalmana. At the moment we won't know. We are thinking what the self-realization means, isn't it? We're trying to understand. But as long as we have this so-called mind inside, he won't allow you to understand self-realization. He'll keep on creating all sorts of things. Not only that, even if you are trying to do something in the direction of self-realization, mind will tell you why you're wasting your time. This is what this so-called friend inside will do to us. That is the very nature of the mind. As soon as you go into the spiritual direction, he will throw hundreds of doubts in front of you first. And not only that, if you do try to sincerely grow, if you, as soon as the mind sees that you are growing up in that way, immediately puts hundreds of doubts in front. So it says to you, why you waste all your life in this? There's so many things to enjoy outside. Why not take to it? This kind of things. So here, samadhi state, it will happen without anyone explaining to you anymore what that state is. So why are we not knowing at the moment? At the moment, why do we not experience? Because when the sun is covered by the cloud, there is what actually the soul is not at any point in any state of ignorance. Any state of ignorance. Nothing can touch the soul. This we have to be very clear in our head. Modes of nature, material body, the mind, intelligence, ego, none of them can touch the soul. Soul is completely independent. But just like the cloud is covering the sun, there is a cover of ignorance which is covering the soul, So although the sun is there in the sky, suppose you close your eyes, you can't see the sky. And if you say that there is no sun, what can you do? Similarly, sun is there, but how many people look at the sun? First of all, people who look at the sun is very few, isn't it? As soon as it gets a bit hot, we will say, oh, it's too hot. We will say like this. Nobody gives any attention to the sun, do they? They give attention to the sunlight or the heat. Why? Because we have no time to look at the sun. We are too busy in this world. So, similarly, it is in the presence of that consciousness all these things are happening. And this body is functioning because of the presence of the consciousness. All these activities we are doing in the presence of the consciousness. So, we don't give any attention to the consciousness. Just like we don't give any attention to the sun, we don't give any attention to the consciousness either. So, this is the greatest surprise in this world. The science has given a lot of attention to everything in this world, isn't it? Okay? It's a very simple thing if you talk about that. It's a very simple thing. When the apple fell, we gave attention to the apple. And the apple fell. And we also gave attention to all the planets, what is rotating in the creation. And we also found out there is hydrogen, oxygen in the water and all those things. Everything is very surprised to us. We say it's amazing, it's wonderful, we say. But we have forgotten to give attention to the person who is observing all these things. And that is what is called Maya. That's a Maya. If you want to understand Maya, this is the best way to understand Maya. You have given attention to everything in this creation, to the planets, to the rivers, mountains, what's underneath the ground, what's underneath in the water. Everything, we have gone and explored and found so many wonderful things from all of those places. And we are also trying to find out the whole law of creation, where everything has come from. And we are trying to find out the truth behind it. So many experiments is going on. But never once, this so-called scientist or the science ever turned their attention to the person who is experiencing all these things. Who is experiencing all these things, or the person who is observing. Their attention never turned to that. It is such a simple thing, but their attention has never turned to that. And that is why in Upanishads, its case, it is called Maya. It is called Maya. So, he is the closest to us, and that is we have left. What is closest to us, we have left that. And all that is far away from us, which is Saturn or Neptune or Uranus or Pluto or planets like that, we are studying, very busy studying that. We are studying that even now, isn't it? We're concerned about what's the temperature in Saturn, what's all there. We are sending satellites and Sputnik. Today something's supposed to fall from the sky. Some satellite Americans have sent long ago, it's going to fall today, I believe. So, and they are frightened where it will fall. So all these kind of things are going on. The important thing here is that this is not the way to go, because this Maya's creation, if you study, you won't understand Maya. You have to know the person who is actually experiencing the Maya. That is where the focus should be. That is where the focus should be. So they could never ask that question, this simple question. It's a very simple question. That is why when Upanishads are talking about self-realization, scientists are telling us, what's the point in doing it? You should be inquiring outside. Sages are telling us, why you waste your time outside? That is a past history for them. That's a foregone conclusion already. There's nothing there to inquire. Everything is happening here, inside, not outside. That is their conclusion. So, because of this alone, science problem will never end. Science will always have a new project to start with. You can notice that also. You all have lived here 40, 50 years in this world. How many projects the scientists have created, and they are looking for an opportunity to create a new project for them to start with. All these projects, where has it led to at the end? Where have we reached at the end? We are as ignorant as we are when we started, in many cases. In many cases, we are as ignorant as we are. We have no answer to many of the questions about ourselves, if you ask that question. So, and at the same time, what we have lost in that process is the peace inside. There is no peace at all. So, sometimes scientists come to hear Bhagavad Gita. Have you noticed that? Sometimes there's opportunity like that. It is true that they are scientists and all that, but actually they are ignorant in the Shastram. Ignorance in the Shastram. And they are finding it difficult because those who have turned towards Bhagavad Gita, some of the scientists who have turned into Bhagavad Gita and accepted this principle of Bhagavad Gita, of the inquiry of the person who is inquiring rather than the trying to research with the project. So, there are scientists in various levels. Some scientists who are exploring the space, who are exploring the planets and all that. All of them have one opinion, that it is very easy to go outside and to make the inquiry. It's not so difficult to make the inquiry. But the thing, what is closest to us, we are not giving any attention to it. This is the most unfortunate thing. So many planets, so many research work, so much going on in this world after something which is far, far away. We've got the time and energy to inquire after that. But someone who is so close to us, which is Krishna inside as the soul, they have no time to inquire after that. This is Maya. who is the one who is giving attention to all of these things? If you look at like that, divisurya sahasrasya bhavi edviga madutthida. So there is that thing inside us who is shining like thousands of sun. The soul inside of everybody is like thousands of sun shining there. Why are we not experiencing? Covered by the ignorance. Covered by the ignorance. So this difference is, this sun inside which is illuminating does not have the heat like the other suns. And it is very cool inside. We cannot bear the heat of one sun. And here we are inside. Upanishads are saying, Anta Shitaladaha. The beauty of this sun is, although it is as powerful as thousands of sun, it is cool inside. Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhaved Yugabadutida Yadiva Sadrashi Syasyal Vasastasya Mahalmanaha. Vasastasya Mahalmana. Mahalmana means those who are highly realized, in them that sun is shining all the time. All the time. Vasastasya Mahalmana. You can imagine here, Krishna is sitting on the chariot, isn't it? On the chariot he is sitting there, and suddenly this transformation or transfigurement is happening in Krishna, and Krishna is standing there in with full effulgence in front of Arjuna. Tatraigastam jagal krishnam pravibhaktam anekata apashya deva devasya sharire pandavastatha. Then in Krishna's body, tatra egastam, in one place, Krishna is bringing everything together, the whole creation, and it keeps on changing also. So many names and forms. Constantly changing in place of Krishna. It is continuously changing. And Krishna, he saw all of that there in one place, all whole thing. And this experience, what Arjuna had from Krishna, many great devotees have also had. Many great devotees have also had. So, once a great devotee, one of the Nayanars, they are called Shiva's devotee, he wanted to go to Kailasam, Shiva's abode. He wanted to go to Kailasam, Shiva's abode. So he prayed to Appar. Appar was his name. Appar prays to him to take me, I want to go and see Kailasam. A desire came up to him like that. So, and Appar was at that time such a great soul that Lord Shiva used to accompany him in many instances. Because Krishna is like that, whoever has surrendered, they will get complete shelter from Krishna. So Appar says to him, I will never leave you, I am always with you. Appar says to him, I have to see Kailasam, I want to see Kailasam. So Lord Shiva take him in front of a lake and show it to him. Look at that pond, he says, go inside that pond. When he went inside and he came out from that, he could see that he was present in Kailasam. His experience in Kailasam, Appar thinks about that in one of the Padiyams. He thinks there, how he is experiencing Kailasam there. So this Kailasam, Vaikuntham and all these abodes, all this universal form, it is an experience for any devotee who wants to have it. By Krishna's mercy, this can all happen. This can all happen. So when he noticed that, so that's why great jnanis, great realized souls, they don't give importance to places and the time and everything. They don't give importance to places. One sannyasi was told that you should come to Rishikesh. Ganga River flows there. Why don't you come and bathe in the Ganga River? He says to him that, where is Ganga? Where is Ganga? This presence of the place, time, travel and all that does not affect a person who is realized the truth. Because if he has already touched the basis of everything, the soul, Ganga is flowing from there. Ganga is not far for him. He's already in touch with Ganga. It is, we are seeing everything in the proximity of the body, isn't it? Proximity with the, in a bodily level, we are seeing these things. That's why for us, to experience Ganga, we have to go to Haridwar. Or we have to go to Rishikesh or places like that. Because in our present state, Ganga only exists there. But if we understand that through self-realization, when one understands that everything in this creation is coming from the same source, And when we are in touch with that source, Ganga is not separated from us. Separated from us. Many, many jnanis, realized souls, they did not travel like us all over the world, running around everywhere, looking for the solution. So, this time, space is all in the bottom, consciousness, isn't it? Not that consciousness is in the place. Today for us, consciousness is in a place, localized it is. We say, I am conscious of this, means I am conscious of this body, I am conscious of the area around me. But when you come to realize the truth, all time, all space, all names, all forms have come from one source, which is Bodham, pure consciousness, isn't it? And anything that is happening, movements that is happening in this consciousness is what is called this creation. Creation is nothing but the movements that is happening in that consciousness. You know what I'm saying? That within that consciousness, whatever movements are happening, that is all these living entities, different bodies, and different time factor, different space, all these things, the source in which it is happening is the same. Once you have touched that source, all these things are localized experience. There is no distance anymore separating us from one to another, nor there is any time factor separating us from one to another. That is the important understanding. Vedam, Upanishads are very, very subtle level. They have realized it. That's why with full confidence they can declare this to us, that your so-called journey, traveling to other planets. Prabhupada wrote this book, you must have read that, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Why did he write that? Because he thought at that time, that was in 1968 or so, when he wrote that book, what was in his mind was, you can see from the book if you read, that scientists were endeavoring very hard to go to other planets. But Prabhupada's point was, if you realize the self, you don't have to put so much effort going to each and every individual planet. Because all those planets, the space that is separating us from there, and the time that is separating us, is all the source is the same, and that is Krishna. That is Krishna. So, realization brings knowledge. Realization brings all experience at all levels. And our ignorance will continue to complete this, continue with all our experiments. Isn't it? So we'll stop for another 15 minutes and we'll continue again. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in that consciousness, in the consciousness, what we call as this creation is nothing but the different names, forms, and their movements inside. From the different time, space, all these specialities what we experience in this world as separate. Time, space, everything. We say, for example, historians will refer to some incident, say First World War happened between 1914 and 1918. That is, for our historical purposes, we use that time factor, space factor. War happened between such and such places, between people, this people, that people, whatever that is. So all these time space, within this time and space, we are trying, because it helps us to connect with the mind. Mind can get a grip over it, isn't it? That is why we set up all these things to bring it under the control of the mind. Otherwise, we won't understand this. But for a transcendentalist who has realized the truth, for him 1914, 1918 doesn't mean anything as far as he is concerned. The war happened between these countries. Who created these countries, first of all? In Krishna's creation, there is no country. We drew up all these borders, and we are calling this country, that country, and everything. There are certain parts of Poland, I understand, it has been part of 3-4 different countries after the World War. And so many wars have happened, and every time either they were Poland, or they were Germany, or they were Czech Republic, or some other country. So this country and these borders, this time, this space, all these things from a paramarthic level, from an absolute level, it has no standing. It has no meaning also. It's all from our completely present state of mind. We are seeing it for our convenience. We have put up all these borders and time limitations and everything. So that is why, if you remember, when we studied Ishopanishad, there was a very interesting verse there. What does it say? The verse was saying like this. It was the fourth mantra in the Ishopanishad. You can look at it when you have time. It says here, once mind and the soul, they made a competition who will reach first. Wherever mind went, they found that the soul was already there. It says, Aheja Devo Manavo Javiyaha Naina Deva Apnuvan Purvamarshan Tadhavado Adhe Atyedi Tishtan Tasmin Namo Madari Shadabhadi. That is the verse, fourth mantra in the Ishopanishad. The mantra is saying like this, that the wherever the mind went, mind noticed that the soul was already there. Why? Because mind was not conscious that he has come from the soul. He wasn't conscious of that. Actually, mind has come from the soul, from the Chit Shakti, isn't it? So what it is that the soul doesn't move. It doesn't have any movement. People think about, you see, we have some material perception about everything, isn't it? Our perception of the soul is also like that. Something put up in a bottle or a packet and kept it here. Like what we say, like the lithium battery in the clock or something like that. A soul is packaged somewhere here. People ask this question, that's like this Prabhu was asking, how many souls? But first of all, we should know what is soul means, isn't it? We don't even know what soul is. We have not inquired that question. What is this thing called soul? Krishna is saying it's the most amazing thing, this soul, in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? Ascharya val pashyati kaschidenam. And some people, Krishna is saying in a very nice way, he says, some people talk about the soul, he says it's the most amazing thing. In one verse, in the second chapter. We talked about it a lot. Yeah. And some people saying that to hear about the soul is the most amazing thing. And then Krishna says, nobody understands the soul. It is Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look into the second chapter. Ascharyaval pashyati kaschidenam. Ascharyaval. Which one is that? 229, yeah? 29, is it? Ascharyaval paschadi kaschidenam Ascharyaval vadadi tathaiva chanyaha Ascharyavachel Ascharyavachenam anyashrunodi Shatvapenam vedanaschaiva kaschil. What does it mean? One person sees this soul as amazing. Another person, he talks about the soul as the most amazing thing. Ascharyaval paschadi kaschidenam Ascharyaval vadati tathaiva chanya. Another person is talking about the soul as the most amazing thing. Then, Ascharyaval chainam anyashrunoti. Another person is hearing about the soul as the most amazing thing. When you hear about the soul, Shrutva pyanam vedana chaiva kaschil. Although all of them have talked like this, none of them understands the soul. Nobody understands the soul. Ascharyaval, and a commentary on that is Ascharyaval Ascharyam Adrishtapurvam Albhudam Akasma Drishyamanam Tena Tulyam Ascharyaval Ascharyam Iva Enam Atmanam Pashyati Kaschil. When you see something what you have not seen before, And it is amazing to you. And that is the very nature of the soul. Some people think about the soul as most amazing. Ashcharyaval vannam enam vadadi tatha evaja. One person is talking about the soul most amazing. One person is hearing about the soul most amazing. Although one is hearing and one is seeing, although one has seen it, one has heard it, nobody understands the soul. Athava yam ayam almanam pashyati sa ashcharyatulya yo vadati yacha shrunodi sa anega sahasreshu kaschid eva bhavati ato durbhodam alma iti abhiprayah. In other words, if you say that one person is saying it's most amazing, another person is hearing about in an amazing way. He sees it in an amazing way. Another person is hearing it about in an amazing way. And those who talk about the soul among thousands is only one or two. Among millions, you can say. How many people talk about the soul in this world? Not even one in a million, you could say that, isn't it? Therefore, it is very difficult to know about the soul. And that is why Krishna also mentions later, isn't it? Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhaye. Yadadam abhisiddhanam kaschinmam veti tatvada. Properly, one who understands of the soul, Krishna is saying, is very, very rare. Out of millions who inquire are very few. And out of those who inquire, one who understands is hardly anyone. That is the beauty of the soul. That's the beauty of the soul. And whereas, what do we do? We have gone and studied all the equations and formulas and everything what the scientists and the all the physics, chemistry, all that. We have gone and studied all that. Then we took Bhagavad Gita and started studying Bhagavad Gita also in the same way. And that's why it's not working. You cannot study Bhagavad Gita in the same way. Our mind won't allow that, because mind is like that. We condition. This is all called conditioning. Conditioning means this, that in a particular way it will go. The mind will go in a particular way. Anything you touch with the mind, it's impure from the Shastram. Shastric point of view, it's impure. It's gone. So therefore, it is more difficult. I know it is difficult for when you start spiritual life. It is difficult in the beginning. But if you persist, and if you accept Krishna's words as true, and if you submit yourself to Krishna's words and surrender to Krishna, Krishna will also help from inside to understand what is spiritual life, what is soul. This understanding will come. And in the Puranam and other literature, to make it easier about the science of the soul, it is presented through stories, through personalities, through instructions, so that somehow or the other we come around all these problems and get to know the soul. The idea is to make you understand that soul is the important thing. So therefore, all these explanations in the Puranam, everything to help us to make it a little easier. Because it is stories, people like to read. Suppose you only talk about the soul all the time, this room will be empty in 10 minutes. Completely gone. Nobody will be there. Who wants to hear about the soul? So therefore, you have to bring stories, you have to bring examples, you have to bring the personalities, everything, and to keep on talking through all these experiences, that will suddenly will start working inside. This is called conditioning. Conditioning is this, that mind won't allow you to turn in the spiritual direction. It will always take you in the opposite way. Mind will tell you, why waste your time? They'll give you the logic also. You live only once. They say like that, isn't it? there's a film also, I think, a Hollywood movie or something. You live only twice or something like that. Long ago, it was there. So we were thinking that you live twice. What is that second one? We have all sorts of things. And then they also tell you life begins at 40. So... So we were thinking, when you become 40, you're really going to enjoy life. So, but after 40, it was more misery added on to the existing. At least till 40, you had the health. After that, that's also gone. So everything down the drain, gone. So like this, spiritual life is, first of all, to accept that I'm not this body. It requires some strength inside. that I am not this body. If we will see this from coming on chapters, all the Bhagavad Gita chapters, all the Bhagavatam chapters in the 11th canto, from now on, Krishna is only hammering this into our head that come out of this ignorance. There is no other way. There is no other way. And example after example, Krishna is talking about Vipaschil, Nashwaram, Pashel, Adrishtam, Abhidrishtavan. You have accepted this world as a reality. And keeping this world as real, you are arguing with me, Krishna says to Uddhava. Uddhava, you are thinking that this world is such a real thing for you. And keeping this world as real, you are arguing with me. What is right? What is this? What is that? I am telling you, this world has no existence. Krishna's words it is, Vipaschil, Nashwaram, Pashel, Adrishtam, Abhidrishtavad, Bhagavadam. 3-4 times, Krishna repeats this word again and again. Why? There must be a reason. Krishna doesn't simply use the word so freely like that. Especially that too at the time when Uddhava was, Krishna was leaving the world. And he wanted to make this point very straightforward and clear to us that if your mind absorbed in temporary matter, in this temporary world, it is not possible to know about the soul. It is not possible. Vipaschil Nashwaram. First of all, this is a yoga system, is this way of scrutinizing the world, that the world is temporary, world is false, world is no reality. Whether it is false or true is another thing. That is not important. In order to take your attention away from the world and to bring it to the soul, we have to say that to people, that the world is temporary, world is false. That's why it's spoken like that. What is important for us today is not whether the world is real or false, because you're not going to be here forever. You'll be gone. Whether the world is real, what does it matter to you? What is important here is, what are we should know first. After that, we should know what the world is. At that time, things will be much more clearer, then a lot more clearer. Without knowing us, any knowledge in this world is all useless. Whatever knowledge it is, without knowing the self, what it is. That is the biggest problem we have. We have ignored that most important thing, self, and we have known everything else in this world, non-self. Or nonsense, whatever you want to call it. So, anyway, coming back to this. Mamadehe Pashyadyascha Characharam Mamadehe Gudakesha Yachanyal Drishtumichasi. So, whatever you want to see, it will come here, Krishna says to him. So, in one instance in the Bhagavadam, you will notice, you see, this is why Bhagavadam is important. Because if you say to Bhagavadam and some pastime in Bhagavadam, you can understand it easier. The Brahmana in Dwaraka, who had the Sandana Gopalam story, he had 10 children. One after the other, all of them died. So, when the 10th one was going to be taken birth, Brahmana comes to see Krishna and Balaram. And every time the child died, the baby died, they used to come and complain to Krishna because they were ruling. It was Krishna was ruling the Dwaraka, isn't it? So, Brahmana used to come and used to abuse Krishna. Used to say like that, is there no Kshatriyas here in this place to rule the place, he said. And Krishna never answered the question. Krishna kept quiet, didn't say anything. Krishna told one day to Brahmana that, what can I do? I lost my own son. Krishna's answer. Pradyumna, he lost, isn't it? And what could I do? I couldn't do anything about it. You remember, Pradyumna was born, Shambhrasura came and took Pradyumna and went to the sea. And after many, many years, Pradyumna came back. So, somebody asked Krishna when he replied to Brahmana like this, but you got your son back, didn't you? So, Krishna said, what is the guarantee that this Brahmana won't get it back? So, Krishna knew everything what was going to happen. Actually, it was a joint operation between Krishna and the Brahmana to teach Arjuna a lesson. This was the whole principle behind it. So Krishna says to the Brahmana that I lost my son. I couldn't do anything. And after many, many years, I got him back. That was after Pradyumna was 20 or 21 years old when he came back. After so many years, Shambhrasura took him away. Then he went and took birth in the Maya Devi, Redhi Devi's husband he was. All this, a lot of things happened at that time. It is in the Bhagavatam, you can read that. So Krishna said, What is the guarantee that he won't get back? He may also get him back, said. Brahmana was not happy about it. He has lost his 9 children. So, Balaram didn't say anything. Krishna didn't say anything. Arjuna was sitting there when the 10th one was going to take birth. So, he says to him and says to Arjuna, Brahmana, by now, after 9 children have lost, gone in this way, every child dies, Brahmana will come and complain to Krishna and Balaram. So because he was doing it so many times, it has become like a song. You know, when you become very distressed, eventually it will become a song, isn't it? So he was practically singing the same song. You know, it becomes like a song, isn't it? You completely keep repeating the same thing. So this time when he came, Krishna got up and walked away from there. Didn't stay. He knew that the Brahmanas come with another song he's going to sing now. But Arjuna sat there very comfortably. And Arjuna asked the Brahmana, Brahmanas come to complain. Kshatriyas had a lot of respect to Brahmanas those days. And Brahmana says that this place is Kleba Kathanam, he says. Kleban. Eunuchs are ruling Dwaraka, he says. Heavy use against Krishna and Balaram. Eunuchs, that means neither man nor woman. They are running this place, he says. And what can I expect? This was Brahmana's words. Huh? So Arjuna said, Arjuna was feeling it. He's a Kshatriya, isn't it? Full of that Kshatriya nature in him. He says, you have gone and approached people who are not Kshatriyas, he says. They are cowherd boys and cowherd men. What can they do? This is Arjuna's answer. They don't know what a Kshatriya is. He said, Kshatriya, I am here. I can sort that out, he says. And then what happened was, all that what you know. So here, you will see that Arjuna made the commitment that if he could not save the child, the next baby when it's born, he will commit, jump into the fire and kill himself. Isn't it? That you know that story in the Bhagavad. So, when the next baby was going to take birth, when she has gone into labor, the Brahmani, Brahmana's wife, when she went into labor, immediately Brahmana came to inform Arjuna. Arjuna told him, you let me know when she is ready for the delivery, I'll come. So as soon as Brahmana came and reported this, Arjuna took his bow and arrow and went there, ready to deal with the case. He created what is known as Sharapanjaram, a complete coverage with a bow and arrows, a protection for the mother while giving the birth baby. And after a while, Arjuna waited outside with the bow and arrow. After a while, few hours, Brahmana came out, coming out, running, saying. So Arjuna said, what happened? Brahmana says, at least last time, 9 times, when the baby died, I could see the body when he was born. Now even the body was in there, there's no sign of anyone. So it was worse than the previous 9 instances. So when he heard that, Arjuna immediately started his, he went into different planets. Arjuna was very capable with his yogic power. He went to Yama's abode. He went to Varuna's abode. He went to Kailasam, even to ask, wanted to ask Lord Shiva about it. Where is this baby? Where has it gone? He couldn't get any answer from anywhere. So it was then that Arjuna decided to jump into the fire. Krishna comes and stopped him from doing that and took him out from there. And after that, Krishna wanted to save Arjuna's life, but wanted to keep the word promised to Brahmana. So Krishna takes Arjuna in a chariot to Vaikuntha Lokam. You know that? They together travel in the chariot to Vaikuntham. And Vishnu has taken the baby there. All the 9 of them were there. And Krishna knew Arjuna could not go to Vaikuntham. Arjuna could go to other planets. There is limitations on everyone. Arjuna had his own limitations. So Arjuna could go to certain planets, in certain places, but Vaikuntham was not accessible for him. So there is a journey, Krishna and Arjuna traveling to Vaikuntham. In the Bhagavatam, you can read that. Together, they are traveling. So they are crossing over different places, different mountains, Loka Loka Parvatam and Viraja River, all of these things they are closing. And eventually they go into Vaikuntham, and there they saw on Adishesha, on Balaram, Vishnu is sitting there, and Vishnu's lap, all the nine kids were there. All the nine kids were there. So all these things Krishna showed to Arjuna. In other words, desham or space, all these things Krishna could make Arjuna to see it. If you start thinking that, oh, the chariot went keep going on and on and on and on, it wasn't necessary. He could bring that experience here to Arjuna of the travel to Vaikuntham, sitting in one place. It's just an experience, isn't it? Now, in a mundane level, if you look at it, you will start thinking that they were traveling. Then the question will come, what speed they traveled, isn't it? We are saying, we will say now that the speed, you see, this is how the scientists will see it. Scientists will say, how far is Vaikuntham? That will be the first question. Vaikuntham is not within this universe. It's outside the universe, isn't it? Now, we have not, with the highest speed we can travel, we have not even reached all over the universe yet. We still have places to go. Some places, even if they are saying, even if you travel 40,000 light years, you can't get there. At the speed of light, if you travel 40,000 light years, if you travel, you won't get there. It's that far within this universe. Scientists also agree with that. So therefore, they have limited their inquiry to certain planets which is close by, wherever they can get to, within spending a few million or few billion, whatever that's available for them. So that's their research work. Now, Vaikuntham is outside this universe, and Krishna had to take Arjuna to that Vaikuntham. Now, if you look at it from the way we analyze things in this world, we start asking this question, how far is it? They want to know exactly how many miles away from here. What speed do you travel? How long would it take to get to Vaikuntham if you travel at that speed? So from here you can see that jnanam realization takes away time and space from everything. This time and space is an illusion in our head. It is so deep-rooted, that illusion is, that we come to the question of questioning Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam even on this basis. That is why I am saying that avidya, ignorance in us, is so deep, thousands of suns will come, it cannot remove that ignorance from inside us. Inside us. Everything we want to bring it to the level of mind and senses. And we want to understand that. Spiritual understanding is not based on the mind or the senses. Mind or the senses. So Arjuna, standing there, went to Vaikuntham. Krishna took him to Vaikuntham. And when after the nine children were brought back, there is Arjuna's statement in the Bhagavatam. You should read that. Then you will know what Arjuna has to say. Arjuna says, Mene Krishnanu Kampidam. These things what Krishna has done, I don't know what I can say about it. Akinjit Paurusham Pumsa Mene Krishnanu Kampidam. He said, it's not for me to say anything about it because it's not within my capacity. That is where Arjuna surrenders to Krishna. And that is kept at the very end of the 10th canto. That story where constantly Arjuna surrendering to Krishna, understanding what is spiritual life. Arjuna is getting a glimpse of it. Already he had the experience in the Bhagavad Gita. He had enough of that before. And now is another experience in the Bhagavatam, that this, through this experience, Arjuna is seeing that spiritual life, Krishna consciousness and Krishna's position is something you can't even understand with your mind and intelligence. And that's what we are trying to understand with the mind. It is way beyond our comprehension what Krishna is. What is Krishna? Krishna's potencies, Krishna's activities. That is why in Srimad Bhagavatam they say it is called Samadhi Bhasha, isn't it? Samadhi Bhasha. Why? Only in Samadhi you can understand Bhagavatam. That is the, who says this? Vallabhacharya says this. Vallabhacharya called Srimad Bhagavatam's language Samadhi Bhasha. If you look into the Balabodhini, which is the commentary of Vallabhacharya, he mentions there, Balabodhini says like this, Subodhini says this, this Bhagavatam language is Samadhi Bhasha. In Samadhi state, you can understand. That means, if you have gone beyond vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep, and in that fourth state, if you are in that state, you will understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, many things in the Bhagavatam is beyond our material mind, cannot touch that. Cannot touch that. If you look at this, some of the statements in the 10th canto, you will see there that 1100 million gopis were engaged in the rasa dance. Precise number mentioned there, 1100 million. 1100 million. Can you imagine in that space, if we look into the space and time, the way we are calculating Vrindavanam today, which is probably about 10 or 20 kilometers, square kilometer, how can you accommodate 1100 million people there? How will you? So do not try to understand Shastram through your mind and intelligence. You will never understand it. It is waste of time. You will be in doubt. Throughout life, you will be doubting. You will ask everybody and you will confuse everyone. That will be the result of that. That's what I'm saying here. That the way to study Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam is a different process altogether. Unless you free yourself from this so-called mind, so-called intelligence, they're all useless at the end. One person asked this question, does that mean the intelligence is all useless? He asked this question to Swami Ramdas. Ramdas was a famous sannyasi. Ramdas told him, no, intelligence is very important, he said. The person was asking the question that, is intelligence not important? He says, yes, it is important. Then why do you say that intelligence is useless? Yeah, intelligence is only important for one thing, to understand that this all intelligence is useless. That for to understand that you need intelligence, he said. That was his answer. Ramdas was a great soul. He was a highly realized personality. Chanting Ramchandra's name, he came to such high state of realizations. This was his answer about intelligence. So, mind, intelligence, they are all block in your spiritual realization. If you use them to realize the truth, you will never realize the truth. It's never possible. But in the beginning, when one comes to spiritual life, to get them interested, you got to allow them to some extent. If you straight away tell anyone mind, and because they'll think you are crazy. That's what the result will be. If you go and tell everyone that, look, Prabhu, don't use your mind and intelligence, they will think that you're gone off. So such a thing shouldn't happen. Therefore, we say, yes, you will give some logic, some answer, some reply. But in spiritual life, what logic? What spiritual life is millions and millions of times bigger than this material life and material world, isn't it? And cannot be understood by the mind and intelligence. So anyway, coming back to Bhagavad Gita, he showed this to Arjuna. And sometimes you can see this example with the mind. You are staying home, you are dreaming in your dream state. You are planning to go to, say, Badrinath or somewhere like that. You had in your dreams about Badrinath. Somebody has spoken to you about it. You have read it from some books. You have read from the internet. And some devotees have spoken how amazing, wonderful, everything. And you are dreaming about it. You were in the bed and all what you have heard about Badrinath, the temple there, the process of worship there, the holy places around there, all these things in your thoughts, it is there. In the dream, all of it has manifested in front of you. Sometimes, even if you have personally gone there, you won't have enjoyed it as much as you have enjoyed in the dream. It can happen like that. Because in that dream state, you have not seen anything else. The sankalpam, what you have created, was all good, what you heard from others. So, you can see here that sometimes even if you go directly, you won't have that experience. On the other hand, when you go there directly, probably you will be fed up after going there. Why? With all the problems you have to encounter on the way. And when you got there, the road is blocked. There is no electricity. There is no water. And it's freezing cold. And all the misery you have to go through. And then you start thinking the Badrinath in the dreams are much better than the Badrinath in the direct journey what I have made there. Is it not? So similarly here, so everything created inside, Badrinath, Kedarnath, all you can create inside. You don't have to be there physically going. This, let me explain this. Tirthayatra, pilgrimage. Yeah, pilgrimage is necessary at a certain stage in life. When is it necessary? When your mind is always like this, you need it. Once your mind is settled with spiritual life and you know what the truth is, that all these the places what we are referring to, they are all, it is inside you. Because we have not connected with the truth, In early days in spiritual life, Tirthayatra is recommended. It's not that whole life you go on Tirthayatra all the time, all over the world on Tirthayatra. It is not necessary. That shows that, because at some stage in Shastram, the word they use is Brandhi. Brandhi means a kind of madness inside. If I explain to you about Badrinath from all sides, still you won't be satisfied. If it is the state, you should go to fill up that curiosity. And that is called Brandhi. Brandhi is that. Sometimes we get that Brandhi, isn't it? I should go to that. That particular place I haven't gone. If I don't go there, something I'm feeling missing. I've not done it. So Brandhi is like that. This is called Brandhi. The word is Brandhi. Brandhi means a kind of madness in us. The mind will not allow you to rest till you go there. No matter how much you hear, how much you suppose, you can get DVDs of everything now. From Badrinath to Kanyakumari, you can get DVDs now. You can put them on and watch, but still you feel that you should be there. If you don't go, you feel that something is missing in life. In that case, you should go, because the mind is not settled yet. That's what it means. Till the mind gets settled, all these things will carry on. But highly realized soul, you don't see them running around everywhere. They are satisfied. Why? Because for them, they've already gone beyond all these things. Their pilgrimage and the importance of those things have gone away from them. There is an interesting story about that. It's a story of a farmer from Bihar. It didn't happen very long ago. It's an interesting story also. In the villages in Bihar, Bihar was very much, at the moment now there's a lot of industry, steel plants and all that has come in Bihar. But prior to that, Bihar was a very well-known place for agriculture, and also well-known farmers and farm people cultivated food a lot in Bihar. And Bihar was also in a spiritually very enlivening place. Sita Devi's birthplace, Janaka Maharaj's birthplace, Mithila, and all that is Bihar, isn't it? Many, many holy places, Gaya, and all those places. So in that Bihar, there was a farmer who lived there. This we are talking about something like 70, 80 years ago. This incident happened in Bihar. So this farmer, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from a nice devotee. He was very devoted nature. This farmer had a very devoted nature. So he heard from Srimad Bhagavatam, and he heard about Badrinath from this Mahatma who was talking from Bhagavatam. And he heard there, and he used to cultivate the food in the land, and rest of the time he spent in Bhagavatam, and he led a very life based on his ashramam and varnam properly. In other words, no other unwanted thoughts came into his head. If he was not engaged in the agriculture, he was absorbed in the Bhagavatam, a sort of life like that. So pure consciousness, in other words, not contaminated like that. So when he heard about all this Badrinath from this personality, he had a great desire to go there. He had a great desire to go there. So what he did, in them days, there is no transport like today. Today you can fly even to Badrinath. I think it is not very far. Delhi, you can get a helicopter if you can afford to pay. You can even fly to Badrinath probably. It is still happening. All these things are going on at the moment. The roads were not even there properly at that time. And the temples are open only for 6 months in a year, between somewhere around March or April it opens and closes in October. The remaining 6 months, the temples are closed. He had this great desire to go to Badrinath, having heard about Badrinath's glory. Uddhava has gone there, Naranarayana Rishis are performing penances there, Vedavyasa Maharshi's ashram is there, and many incidents in the Mahabharatam is centered around there, isn't it? Pandavas ascending to the Himalayas, going to the Pandava Prasthanam, Surgarohanam, all those things have happened there. So he, in his own mind, he was dreaming this. When will I be able to go to Badrinath? This incident you are talking about 70, 80 years ago, this incident happened. So he wanted to go, and he wanted to save money for that. He was not so rich. He worked in the field mostly. So he was saving up the money a lot to make this trip happen, because he knew that it will take months and months to go and come back, to go to Badrinath and come back. So because it closes for 6 months time, he has to think about it properly and make sure that there was no transport facilities. He had to walk through Haridwar, Rishikesh like that, mountain after mountain, he has to cross through that. So he was going like that. So after a long time, he managed to collect enough funds and walked all the way to Badrinath with other one or two devotees, traveled and got there. Unfortunately, when he got there, that was the last day of that 6 months, the temple is open. The temple was open. So, and when he got there, the system there is, they are called Ravalji. Ravalji is the person who does the deity worship there. And the local king and the Ravalji, they have a relationship. In the sense, the temple is under the control of the king. But appointed Ravalji has to work with the king. That means at the end of 6 months, when they close the temple, the king must be present there. And the Ravalji locks the temple door and they leave together from there. That is their custom, what they follow. So when he got there, Ravalji and the king were coming back after closing the temple. After all this effort, he has walked such a long distance to get there. When he got there, they were walking back from there. And when he heard about this, that the temple has been closed for the next 6 months, there is going to be snow, and these people will be gone from here, he was completely shattered. Whole desire, he's old as well, quite old by now, and he had whole life he had made this plan to come to this Badrinath temple, and he has organized it, and this is the result of all that. So what he did, he could not tolerate it anymore. He was so broken hearted. He went and fell in front of Ravalji and told him, please open the door for me. Let me have a darshan before I go. I have come from such a long distance, walking all this way, and if another 6 months, I won't be able to survive here in this. That means walking back all the way from Badrinath, either to Joshimath or further down the hills, and live and then going again after 6 months, that's not going to happen in his life. He knew very well, so he fell at Ravalji's feet, the pujari, and told him to open the door. Open the door. So, at least once, give me this opportunity to see the deity. Ravalji was in distress because he cannot break the custom. If he breaks the custom, once it is closed, there is certain very noble principles behind it. What it is that after 6 months when Ravalji comes back, Narada Maharshi does the worship there. So he is not allowed to go and open the door freely like that. 6 months it is, 6 months it is a worship for the king, local king. He is allowed to do the worship. Ravalji does it on his behalf. And the other 6 months, it is Uddhava and Narada Maharshi who performs the worship there. And that time when they are worshipping, it's on a different level. And our Ravalji cannot just pop in and say to Narada Maharshi and Uddhava, I have come to open the door for to show someone. So he was in a dilemma. What to do? How can I open the door? He, with a lot of difficulty, he told him that I cannot do it because if that will be breaking the system what the acharyas have established before. He was also frightened to do that, Ravalji. But seeing this man's plight, he was feeling very sorry about it. He was feeling so sad in him. Such a long distance, old man, any time he may leave his body. And because as a Ravalji, he felt very upset about it, that I couldn't do this for him. You can imagine that, the state of mind, what Ravalji was experiencing at that time. So, he says to him, after 6 months I will open up, otherwise I can't do anything about it. Saying this, Ravalji left. When Ravalji came to his place of residence, that is in Joshimath, where they live, or sometimes they come to Rishikesh or Haridwar, he was thinking about this person. And he was praying to Krishna, you have to do something now about it. Because he was so badly hurt inside that he couldn't do this for him. You can imagine, a devotee is like that, isn't it? He feels that. That's such an important thing. So, not only that, he told him that you have to come here after 6 months. This person who had come from Bihar, he had no socks, he had no shoes, no sweater or pullover or jumper or anything, just in his dhotis he had come all the way there. In that freezing cold, already it's closing, by October it's already freezing there, isn't it? And he knew that he won't survive through that winter there. But he won't leave, he sat there and started crying outside the deity room, our farmer from Bihar. His name was Paltu. This story is well known. Paltu was his name. Paltu sat there and he started crying there. And 6 months, Ravelji had this in his mind, this distress in his mind, that he couldn't do anything about it. So, and he was always seeing him in his mind, the way he came and paid his respects to Ravelji and the way he was crying about it. And seeing that simple heart and devotional nature, Ravelji was feeling very upset about it. And he could not bear that. 6 months, he also had to go through this distress. After 6 months, Ravelji prayed to Krishna this 6 months that you have to solve this problem. It's not in my control. I couldn't do anything about it. So please give him an opportunity somehow for him to see you. Ravelji's prayer 6 months on his behalf to show Krishna to him. And after 6 months, Ravelji came back. When Ravelji came back, Paltu is sitting outside the deity room. Paltu was sitting outside the deity room. And as soon as he opened the door, Paltu started crying. Tears were coming from his eyes. Tears is coming from his eyes. And he fell down at Ravelji's feet and showed it to him. You have done me a great favor. How kind you are that you have managed to come back and open the door. This 6 months' time, what happened to him? During this 6 months' time, as soon as Ravelji left, a little boy came up to Paltu and told Paltu, Paltu, wait for some time. Ravelji, come back later. Till he opens the door, you can come and live in this cave, and took him to a cave. And the 6 months passed on inside that cave, this boy and Paltu together. Paltu and the boy together passed the time in the cave. And the moment Ravelji arrived to open the door, the boy told them Paltu that Ravelji has come back, is going to open the door. Where is the 6 months now in Paltu's life? If you ask the logic, I can't give you logic for that. But that is Krishna consciousness. That is bhakti. That is bhakti. It is impossible to explain these things. Ravelji himself, this Ravelji left his body. He spoke about this later, that this experience in Badrinath, what he had. Experience in Badrinath. So, for him, only one night has gone. For Ravelji, 6 months has gone. So where is time and space? Where is time and space? How will you explain that? If you start thinking, this is the difference between Krishna consciousness and the science. Science has its own way of looking at things through its time and space and everything. But Paltu did not have any problem. He thought that just one night has gone, I slept over, and next day morning Ravelji has come and opened the temple for me. I'm seeing the deity and the worship was going on. He was least affected by that. So, so Paltu moves away from that. Paltu says to Ravelji, was in shock when he saw him there like this. Paltu says to Ravelji, one boy came and took me to that cave. I was living in the cave this last night, he says. Night was 6 months. The night time was 6 months for him. So in the night time, what this boy did, he made some fire for this Paltu to survive the heat, survive the cold. And in that fire, they were playing chess together. You know, they have a way of playing chess in the remote villages. They don't need chessboard and all these, the king, bishop, queen, rook and all that. They don't need all that. What they have, they'll make the chessboard on the floor. They'll draw it with the chalk or something, and using the stones, they'll say, this is king, they'll play the chess there, that way. So they played it like that, and they passed the time like that. The 6 months were gone in the morning. The boy told him, you can go now. The temple is open, Ravalji has come, go and have a darshan there. So so sometimes it is like that, that 6 months, in Krishna's calculation, 6 months can be like that, one day for us, or one night for us. Lila padam bhavati mai. So there is a lot of things mentioned about, that is why self-realization happens. Time and space has no value anymore after that. We need to get this very clear in our head. Otherwise, our mind will cause problem. Mind will start saying, because if you are a devotee, if you have accepted Shastram, if you accepted Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to come out of this so-called science and so-called logic of the science. It has no value anymore. This is happening on a spiritual plane. It's not happening on the platform of the mind. Platform of the mind. So, she, Maya, she can play with time, whichever way she likes. She can put it in this way, she can move it in the other way also. She will do like that, like she is doing with the scientists, like she is doing with us all the time. All the time. That is why she is called Maya. And this whole creation, Prapancham, material creation, is nothing but her playground. It's her playground. She is playing the game in all that. And here we are trying to find our logic and our own reasoning we want to apply. So, therefore, in the commentary you will see, Parabrahma Maharshi, she is called. Maya, she is addressed as Parabrahma Maharshi. So, how little baby, when they want to drink the milk, the mother give the breast to the baby, and the baby drink the breast. Similarly, Maya has created all these things, and we are just babies in her hands. And she will create all sorts of situations, like the mother uses the baby with the toys and asks her to play with the toys. She is asking us also in the same way, you play with all these things. And she is watching like the mother. That is why she is called Maya. That's her capacity. That unless we come to understand Maya's power, Maya is so powerful that she will keep on playing this game with us. And one day you will notice some interesting things if you look into your own life. Into your own life you look how Maya has played with you. At one time, when your body was very strong, or when you were a little boy or an early youth, when your body was very strong, you always felt that you could do so many things in this world physically. And if there is 10 miles to go, you will say, if there is no transport, I can walk, you would say. Would you not? But as much as the body got older, in your 60s and 70s, even if you have to go 1 mile, you will think about it, plan it before that. So, body has changed. Body has changed. And she has also changed your way of thinking. Is it not? Similarly, the mind. Similarly, the intelligence. Everything, if you look, you will see. She is playing with your body. She is playing with your mind. She is playing with your intelligence. She is even playing with your ego. She's even playing with your ego. When you are young, your ego is very strong. I could do so many things. But after she kicks you a lot here and there, the ego goes. You also realize it, that everything is not under your control. It is then that you start saying, Krishna is in control. Up to that time, you won't say Krishna is in control. Up to that time, you are in control. Isn't it? So, actually, so in fact, what she is doing is, she is keeping all of us on her lap, and she is telling some stories to us, and that is this world. The story is going on. So, in reality, there is no existence for this. What actually exists is only Krishna, the soul. Soul is the only reality. Nothing else is real in this world. So, in order to entertain us, all this is going on in this world. Although it may not look entertainment for us at the moment, it will come to understand one day, it's also another kind of entertainment that is going on here. So, in this entertainment, time and space will come and go. In this entertainment, But actually, here there is no time, there is no space either. But it appears as though it exists. In the experience level, it's all happening there. But as soon as you realize it is Maya, you forget this also, that all these important sources. So, we have desire to see cinema, isn't it? Film, drama, all the serials and all that. We want to see them, is it not? So, when we have desire to see, we go to the theater or watch in front of the television or something like that. But while watching that, you know very well that it is not real. As soon as you switch off the television, the blank screen is there, or you go to the cinema theater, the screen is there. And because you know that, it does not disturb you what's happening there, isn't it? Sometimes people go to this movie just to cry, like to cry. So in the olden days, it was considered, if you make movies, if everything is a tragedy, some people like it very much. So what they'll do, they have a lot of problems at home, different kinds of problems, either health problem, wealth problem, children not listening, all quarreling, fighting, all kinds of things going on at home. So what they'll do, they'll go and see a tragedy like this. And when they go, they'll think like this, oh, if it can happen, so it's so much to worry about. It's happening there, so it's a relief for me. It's happening. People trying to shelter like this. And some people, they only like tragedy. They don't like anything, any movie that ends up in a nice way. So Bollywood, all these people, they will produce movies in such a way, everything ends up very nicely. It'll be a young man and a young woman, they'll get married. After that, the real misery, they won't show that part of it. After that. Up to that, everything they'll show nicely. So these people who will go and see the movies also, they'll come back and then they will cry in the theater. They've gone there to cry, seeing all the misery, and compare that with their own misery, and they'll say, at least I'm much better than them. And they'll feel a relief that way. It'll come back in that way. So similarly, Krishna has put us here and tell us, you watch this movie going on in this world. And if you start taking this all very seriously, then you are going to trouble. You don't take this seriously, the movie what you watch in the theater. You'll come home and you will leave it because you know the blank screen will be there, the film is over. Similarly, this film will also finish one day. This film is not going to stay anymore. So long as you have a desire to see this Maya going on, you'll keep on watching it. This is the principle behind it. Krishna is stressing this point, that as long as we have this desire to see this Maya, and in this Maya find all the logic, reasoning, and we want to understand why it has happened like this, there is no explanation to anything. Nothing you can explain in this world with logic and your logic and your reasoning won't work here, because her logic and her reasoning is different. Maya's logic and Maya's reasoning is different. So once you understand that is why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Devi Hesha Gunamayi, Gunamayi she is. Three modes are there and it's operating all the time. And once you know that this is Krishna's Maya, Devi Maya, it is a relief. Because when you felt the relief, what Paltu has experienced after his 6 month stay in Badrinath, how he came out of that. Similarly, you will also that what is going on in front of us at the moment also. We are taking it so seriously. We say that 10 years ago this happened, 20 years ago that happened. So much importance to time, so much importance to space, so much importance to personalities we have given here. But in the eyes of Maya, none of them are important. None of them are important. So this is the important, what Krishna calls it as, everything, this life itself, what you are experiencing at this moment, is Krishna says that it is Maya's Vaibhavam. Maya's Vaibhavam, Maya's potency that is. And that is also another form of Yoga Vaibhavam. Krishna addresses it as Yoga Vaibhavam. So self-realization means freedom from Maya. Self-realization means freedom from Maya. While being inside the Maya, if you keep on trying to solve the problems of Maya, there will never be any end to this problem. You will never be able to do it also. You plug one hole, another hole will start causing problems. So this particular chapter, Universal Form, is an opening up of this Maya's potency to show to us that when Arjuna saw that Maya manifested as Krishna's appearance there, Arjuna started realizing anything what you do within this jurisdiction of Maya is not never perfect, can never be perfect. It is not possible. The only thing one can do is to accept the knowledge what Krishna has given and to go along with it. There is no alternative to it. That is why this universal form is important. Through universal form, you can see Arjuna's realization happening to him that simply by operating within the Maya, it is not possible to have anything perfect. Whereas in spiritual life, everything is perfect. If there is one knowledge in this world which is perfect, that is spiritual knowledge. No other knowledge is perfect. Scientific knowledge or knowledge about anything else, medical knowledge, none of them is perfect. Because if it's perfect, it won't change, isn't it? Think about every invention or discovery in science or engineering or medicine or any of these topics. You will see constantly they are revising their results, isn't it? From about cancer, if you read, the amount of conclusions they have come about with cancer is unbelievable. Today, one thing exactly opposite they'll come out tomorrow. Today they'll say, because you have eaten too much fat, that's why you got cancer. Tomorrow they'll say, all those who have got their very thin people, how do they get cancer if you ask them? They'll say, because they are not eating enough, that's why they got the cancer. So where is the logic in all? They don't understand. They cannot understand. Body is not such a simple thing like a machine you can operate and give a conclusion about the body. There is Krishna sitting inside. There is much higher law related to that. We will never understand that those things. That's not possible. That is why all other science in this world will remain imperfect. The only perfect knowledge in this world is spiritual knowledge, and that's Bhagavad Gita. Once you understand that, then you will see this all makes sense. Otherwise, nothing. Let's stop there. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.